Alrighty, Joel Radio's back. How you doing out there, podcast listeners of the world? Joel Fragamenti here. Another big show, I think. I don't know how big. This is a medium-sized show. That's what I'm going to describe this as. I don't want to give it too much build-up.
Oh, man.
It's medium. That's okay.
It all depends on your guests.
It's not a small show.
No?
I've done small shows. This is a medium show.
Oh, thank you, Joel.
I've done big shows. This is not in that department, but it's going to be a good one. Because one of my favorite guys to talk to, Ted Moss, is here. You all know Ted.
Hi, Joel. Thanks.
Third appearance?
Good
fourth appearance?
I don't know.
Third appearance? Fourth appearance?
Stop counting. Probably second.
No, I can recall.
I think maybe third.
Because you came in here and we talked about the comedy class with Steve Hansen.
Yes, that's one.
And then once you sat in with Corey Hall, which still regret,
yes,
apparently.
Yes, no. That was interesting. Yeah, so this is my third time.
And Corey's not here today, so
yes.
It'll just be you and I. And,
yes,
you
I guys, made it through the gauntlet. I can be here without Corey.
Well, what it is, see, this is the way that this works, is that you come on, and you shit-talk Corey, and then I'll have Corey on without you, and then Corey will shit-talk you, and that'll bring you back together, and that will build drama
for the debate
shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to shit-talk Corey. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do
Why?
That. Because
you do it when the mics aren't on. Why would you not do it when the mics are on?
That's
Why
not
would
true,
you
Corey.
Not? I know,
I
you're
never,
not.
Ever.
I feel that you and Corey are so similar. That's why you got fight, and that's why I fight with Corey.
We are not even close to being similar.
I think you're very similar.
Oh, I don't think so at
I
all.
I think you're very similar.
I don't think I have anything negative to say about anybody or anything whatsoever.
But you're both kind of loudmouth know-it-alls,
oh,
and that's good,
you.
As
yeah.
I am.
Oh, there you
as
go.
As I am.
A lot of I think he has a lot of opinions. I have a lot of thoughts. There's a difference.
How are thoughts and opinions different?
Well, I think with an opinion, you have an emotional investment in it.
Okay.
And I think with a thought, you're open to change.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, Ted's up to some big things, and
yes.
we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some other. I know Ted hates this, but I saw some movies, and Ted goes, "Oh, what the fuck are you seeing movies for? These goddamn movies! You're wasting your time, young. What the
I know nothing
you
about
kids
movies.
And your movies, like they just got invented.
Yes,
like you didn't grow
what?
Up with movies.
Well, something. Yeah. If you want to talk about old movies,
yeah.
I'm all over that.
Like Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
yeah,
that.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
I like Rebel Without a Cause.
I do too.
But we're
like
not talking about that, brother.
Yeah. Okay.
But we actually are talking about old movies because I saw Blade Runner. Which is a sequel to an old movie.
Oh, that's great. Never seen it.
Never saw the original Blade Runner? Didn't
nope.
see the new one?
No.
What about Alien and the Alien
nope.
series?
No, nope.
I actually
saw on Netflix has Alien 3 or something like that, and I haven't seen Alien 1. I know it. I think it's Sigourney Weaver.
It came out
and
in,
I think a monster comes out of a monster's mouth.
And
I think
it comes
that's
out
all
of
I
a
know.
Guy's chest.
Oh, is that what it is?
1979
oh,
that came out.
Oh, the guy's chest. Isn't that? That's Arnold Schwarzenegger in the... In the
no, it's
that's
Alien,
a guy's. There's a guy's
that might be Total Recall.
Yes,
that thinking about. Well, that was later. Yeah. That was 87 or something. 86.
All right.
But anyway, so we'll talk about those things. We'll talk about what Ted's up to. Actually, there's a thing before we get into it. You're up to this project, which we've been talking about.
Yeah.
There was another project that I was part of. Can we discuss that on the show or not? We'll table
sure,
it for
you know,
another
we can.
Thing.
We can, but it,
Cause
it's
that's
not
funny
because
I've talked.
Funny?
To, well,
funny?
I've talked to people about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Off the air.
Oh, no. Go ahead. No,
okay,
I,
we'll
I'm
talk
up
about
that.
That too,
yeah, yeah,
because
yeah. that's still upcoming.
It's another. You're kind of the Ralph Cramden of stand-up, which I like, which I think is great.
I'm
a fan of that.
Yeah. What, in your Jackie? Hold on. What was
Ralph
Cramden?
Ed Norton?
Ed Norton?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, Ralph Cramden, you know, not Jackie Mason. What the fuck am I talking
about? Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
You know, had get-rich-quick schemes.
Yes.
And I feel like you're kind of like that with comedy. Even though... There's really no way to get rich quick because it would have been figured out by now. But
no.
you have ways of doing
no.
things.
Well, you know what? I want to do what's next. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to keep doing the same thing.
Right.
I think at some point you got to go, what can I
do
next?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
You know, that's why I only can take your class so many times. I'm like,
you
there's got to be
class
something
as
next.
As much as you want.
Yeah, but eventually I got to do something that's next.
Please take my class.
Yes.
That's the next thing. By the way, speaking of comedy classes, a couple things, a little business on my end. If you're a comics, listen to this show. And if you're a comic that wants to, you know,
be more of a professional comic. Get off the open mics if you can. Get yourself booked. I can help you with that with the advanced comedy class over at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And that starts November 4th. So call the club, 248-542-9900. You have to have a little bit of experience, a year of experience, or have taken the beginner class at the club. Or you can write me, and I will tell you if I think you're qualified. Because we're looking for people to be MCs. We're looking for people to work at the club. I know you're right at that point where you haven't been hired at the club, I don't believe, yet, but that's probably in your future.
No, and why would
I? But you're working at other places. Yeah. You're getting paid to do comedy now, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got well, it's funny. I was sitting down, and I should really, but I was putting down just for that class, I think I've got a list of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, off the top of my head, 16 people.
Oh, that's
that are
great.
My students that have now been booked for a professional weekend show at the Comedy Castle.
Wow.
16 in 2 years.
Wow.
That's pretty goddamn good average, I think.
Yeah, it sure is.
I mean, that's a good batting average for my students. 16, and there's guys like you who haven't been, and guys like Tim Finkel I was talking to who I thought was getting booked. But
I think Tim is great.
I think Tim's great, too, and I think his day's coming if he sticks with it, obviously, and you as well. But all those guys, you know, I mean, I've got a list here of guys. I mean, guys, you know, Billy Reno, Steve Hansen, who's been on the show. I mean,
Billy is my partner.
Josh Boab, who's been on this show, who's been booked.
I saw Josh was in something. Is he hosting on the weekend or something?
Josh just did that a couple wees ago.
I think that's great.
With Michael Harrison and Sal D'Amelio. He was fantastic.
That's great.
Josh was great. And Sam Silverstein, who's been on this show, you know, is really blowing up.
Yeah, I think Sam's if I was a little bit cleaner, I'd have an opportunity. I just got to clean up my act.
You know, that could hurt you.
I do a little bit of bar humor, I think, or something.
But so I want to just plug that November 4th is the next one there. A lot of those sell out. I know we've got some people signed up already. So please call the club to sign up, 248-542-9900. If you want to go through the archives, the show that I did with you and Steve Hansen describes everything that I do in the class. I even read some of my actual lecture notes on that show, and we discussed things. And
it is a good class, and I'll tell you, I have recommended it to many people, and one person was very offended by the fact that I recommend
it. Some people get weird about that.
There was somebody, and he will go nameless, but it's somebody who's been hosting for a very long time.
Sure.
And I saw he was making some basic
mistakes.
I don't want to say mistakes, but some things he could have done better. And I said, you know what? I took this really good class on hosting, and I really upset him, and so I had to backtrack really fast.
You
say, you really don't need it.
Well, listen, my feeling is the track record that I'm building up with people that have gotten professional work out of it.
Right.
And even though you're not booked at the Comedy Castle, I feel like you have become a better comic from doing it and all that.
Absolutely.
And it's helped your career. Whatever money you spent, you've gotten back in gigs many times over.
Sure.
I mean, I think that speaks for itself. I mean, you don't need to take a comedy class to be a professional comic, to get booked, any of those things, but it can help you, and you can show you what you're doing wrong and what to avoid to get work. Right. So anyway.
And in my personal case, I have not pursued doing a lot of professional gigs.
No.
I haven't sent anything into Mark, any requests or anything.
Yeah, okay.
And that's okay with me because I kind of do comedy part-time.
Booked.
I know. I do it part-time when I'm not busy with my kid or something going on. So
anyway, that's going on November 4th. So again, if you listen to the show with me, Ted, and Steve, because that was a real good overview of the class.
I can
put that on Facebook or whatever, so listen to that. And then the other thing I want to talk about is another class. This was brought to my attention. This was offered to me by a gal named Stacy Molinaro, who was a student of Bill Bouchard's, who I taught once on a fill-in. And she did a couple open mics, and we became friendly, and she works at this senior center. It's a senior... I think it's called an enrichment center.
Now, this is strange. This is strange.
Well, they do all kinds of classes. They do drama classes, art classes.
And how old?
Oh, I think you have to be over 65 or there's some
threshold. I'm over 65.
Okay, so you can do this class. Well, let me describe the class, see if you're interested in it. it's at a place downtown called the Hannon Center.
I'm not interested.
Part of the Hannon Foundation. And it's down by Wayne State, so it's midtown Detroit. And... they said, would you like to do a comedy class for senior citizens? And they offered me money, and I said, that sounds like a challenge, but I'm into it.
Right, right. I remember before you were going to do this, you were excited.
And we did 6 weeks of instruction, and the showcase for that show is coming up Tuesday, the 24th of October. It's at 6 p.m. It's at the Hannon Center on Woodward, near Wayne State, near Woodward and Warren.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. What kind of instruction... did you give them? It wasn't like your hosting class.
No. It was definitely different than what I do at Comedy Castle.
Right.
It was about, you know, making a set and, you know, how to be funny, what should you talk about, giving them good examples. You know, letting them write, I think, a little more loosely.
Right.
And a little more free form and a little less about, like, okay, this at the club is sort of unacceptable or whatever, you know, things. Whereas I teach the advanced comedy class, like, you want to be a professional comic, this is what we're doing. This one I taught more like Comedy 101. Let's make 7 fun minutes for people to come out and
watch. Oh, you made him do 7. Well, I would have thought maybe do 4 or
Well,
something,
listen,
you know?
First of all, I learned a lot doing this.
Yeah.
Because I broached the 7-minute, 6-minute, 7-minute thing in week one. And first of all, it's all ladies that signed up.
Okay.
So it's all ladies over 60.
Okay.
Okay. So it's, you
my
know,
kind of crowd.
Yeah. And all African American.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's who's
interesting.
In this class. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And they all looked at me like, that's so long. That's what they said.
Well,
that is so long.
Well, you know, if you don't do public speaking,
right,
3 minutes seems like a long time.
But
I
will tell
remember.
You, after 6 weeks of instruction,
they've
all blown over 6 minutes.
Really?
They've all, one lady's got 10 minutes that she's going to do
really?
On Tuesday.
Really?
Another lady's got 6. One lady might have like 4 or 5, but I think with laughs, that'll still be 6.
Wow.
I mean, they've done great.
Now, did you teach them basic joke structure? Did you take them from 0
you know,
to funny, or were they
I
funny?
I never teach joke structure. And part of the reason I don't do that is, and it's not the way I write. I want people to be funny and sort of be themselves and be funny. And look at the jokes, listen to other comics and try to bring that in, learn what comedy sounds like, and start writing that way. It's more of an organic thing than, hey, here's a piece of paper, sit down and do it like an equation. And there's books that will teach you to do it that way, and there's websites that you do that way. It's just not what I do.
It's like the Seiko equation. You take Seiko, and I'm just going to teach you how to be who you are.
Well, Seiko's we haven't had Seiko on the show. People don't know who he is.
You haven't had Seiko?
I need to have Seiko. He's a fucking gold mine. I love that guy. He's so funny. No, he does not do that. But Seiko's from Japan, and he's done my comedy class. I think he has one of the funniest shows you'll ever see, Seiko Yamagita. And if you get a chance to see him, I don't know. Hopefully I'll have him on the show.
I think the funniest thing about Seiko is he has been here as long as he has.
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing.
But that's kind of inside information.
But in the similar way, I told these ladies, use your real lives. Use your experience. Don't be afraid. And like I told Seiko, don't be afraid to exaggerate how long you've lived in America, as an example. And I tell these ladies, you know, don't be afraid to exaggerate. Talk about your real life. But if you can make it funnier by exaggerating, do that. So that's some of the instruction that I give.
That's the same thing I do on dating sites.
Yeah.
just exaggerate.
Well, I'm telling you, if you come to this show
at
the Hannon Center next week on the 24th, it's at 6 p.m. It's early. These are old folks.
Yeah.
It's a suggested $5 donation.
Suggested,
because it's a charity. Yeah. We don't, you know, and by the way, this class, $10 to take.
Wow.
You can take this class for $10.
Oh.
I think we're going to do another one in December. I don't have an official announcement, but
same
it looks
location,
like we're gonna do
same
location, same thing. So
how far away is that from here?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
At the time of day that I teach it, it's about 15 minutes with traffic.
So it's an hour and 15 for me.
It's 50. Well, yeah, but it's $10.
Yeah.
But anyway, so these ladies are so funny. It's I swear it's a riot. I had a lady that you know, Kathy Ryan.
Yes.
Was my guest the other day for the class.
Oh, really?
And I brought her in to talk about, you know, because Kathy's in her 60s.
Did she do stand-up for them?
She did a little stand-up. She talked about her
life.
Did
they like
it? They loved it. Kathy thought the ladies were hilarious, and it was great. Yeah.
That's great.
And if you come out on the 24th.
Yeah.
And wait, there's more.
All right.
If you come out on the 24th, I've got some guest comedians lined up. I've got Mike Bonner.
Oh, my.
One of the biggest headliners in Detroit.
Are you kidding me?
He's going to do a guest spot, as is Keith Ruff, another favorite headliner. Guy's been around forever. Good friends of mine.
Every hand that goes up, every call that comes in, you also get.
So Keith Ruff, I'm going to be the MC.
Oh, that's great.
And you'll see all these ladies performing, and you'll get those guest spots. And there
you
might
should
even
bring
be more
them
guys.
Down to the club.
We did that.
You had them at the comedy?
Well, they came to watch a show.
Oh.
In fact, they watched the show we were talking about before. Josh Boab.
Yeah.
Sal D'Amelio and Michael Harrison. That's the show
Sal.
They came. Yeah.
Okay.
I got them a deal on tickets.
Okay.
And they came down and they watched the show. They brought their friends and families with them. I introduced them to the comedians. I took them backstage. I let them stand out there and test out our mic.
Now, are they good enough to perform at an open mic
you know what?
For people who are not their friends or relatives?
I didn't. Put that pressure on them because it's a different kind of class.
Yes.
I looked into, hey, should we get the Comedy Castle for a showcase?
Right,
and we
right.
didn't, so we're going to do it at there. They have a little art gallery, which is really nice.
Okay.
Which we're going to put like 50 chairs in. It's going to be like super intimate. It's a really nice space. But I thought that would be too intimidating for them, but they did get a taste of what it's like to be at the Comedy Castle and what it's like to perform there.
Yeah.
By hanging out, and I think some of them are interested.
Yeah, did you take them back to the green room?
Yeah, they went to the green room. They met all the guys. They met all the comics. They took pictures on stage with me. It was really cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That was part of the class.
Yeah, that's great. For 10 bucks. What a deal. I wish I was an old black lady.
Yeah,
I would take
your class. You could take the class.
I would just blend right in, wouldn't I?
I would have loved to have more diversity. It's interesting.
I'm not sure that my humor would be proper for your class, Joel.
Any humor is fine. It's fine. So come out on the 24th. I don't want to talk anymore about this because it was really, I tell you though, I've enjoyed this. It's been a challenge in different ways.
I'll bet.
Obviously, because, you know, it's older people. They don't always show up on time. They forget what they talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know, there's things like that that have been a challenge. But I have loved every second of this class.
Sure.
You know, I am getting paid for doing it, but I'm not getting paid the same as I get for Comedy
You
Castle.
Can be if they're paying for
it's,
10
it's
bucks.
A charity. I mean, it's a charity. And, you know,
the government, I must be paying you to do this.
It's a charity. Well, they do fundraisers and stuff to raise money and people donate
to bring people
to the
like you and to teach them how
to
do
and then to the instructors, the art instructors, the theater instructors.
I think it's a great idea.
So, yeah, we've been doing that for 6 weeks. It's going to be a blast. October 24th, come out to the Hanen Center. Get a hold of me if you need to. If you want more information on that, it's going to be so much fun. And I'm glad that Mike Bonner, and I think they're going to eat up. I mean, they all know who Mike Bonner is.
Oh, they'll
That's
love
funny
him.
That
Mike,
they all know Mike Bonner.
Voice. He'll be great. Because
he's a legend in Detroit comedy. He's like urban Detroit comedy. He's one of the all-time legends.
I'll bet.
If you saw there's a Def Jam reunion special that's playing on Netflix right now.
Yep.
Mike's in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Mike was on Def Comedy Jam. He was I think he was the all-time, the rumor, I haven't even heard it from his mouth. It's not even him saying it. I think on BET's Comic View, I think he did more appearances than any other comedian on BET's Comic View. Yeah, he's one of the all-time
Where
legendary.
Where was BET? Was that BET?
It was on the BET channel.
But is that based out of New York?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so was he living in New York?
He's lived in New York. He's lived in L.A. He's from Detroit. He lives here now.
He's a family man. He has a family here, right?
Kids and all that. And ex-wife. Or two.
That's why, because he's living in New York.
And, of course, I'm on Mike's radio show every Tuesday night
while
I'm plugging shit. 9:10 a.m. with Mike Bonner around midnight, black radio station.
Right.
I'm the only white guy. The joke that I tell about that, which I've told before on this show, is I think that I'm the white guy on that channel because they wanted someone to show up on time. I think that's why I'm on there. But it's, you know, joke I tell. But yeah, I love doing that too. Mike's going to be there. Keith Ruff, come out. It's going to be a good time. All right.
Black All radio said. Station. Mm-hmm. Used to have WAMM in Flint. Okay. WAMM radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I the soul music.
Isn't any radio station in Flint a black radio station?
I don't know. I don't know. Who listens to AM anymore? I don't know. I don't even listen to
I'm
radio.
I'm on 910.
I don't
But you get it on the internet, 910amsuperstation.com. There's a live camera in the studio.
You know, well,
you can watch me on
Facebook,
that show.
I watch your Facebook
live. Yeah, I do Facebook live sometimes.
But I'm so stupid that I'm interacting with you, but it's a video of what you did yesterday or something
live.
Like that.
No.
I'm watching
I don't have any
tape.
Way to hold this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can put you on Facebook
Live
now. Do you want to be on Facebook
Live?
No,
I don't
now?
Need that.
Maybe
Thank
I
you.
Can put myself on Facebook
Live. Yeah.
And then you can just sit there.
Yes.
And be you and
there
talk.
You go. There you go.
But I don't know. Let's see if I can do Facebook Live. But anyway, so that was, you know, what can I tell you? It's good times. I'm doing a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of fun stuff.
Spend a lot of time with black people is what it sounds like to
and
me.
But that's okay.
Yeah. That's,
I have no problem
kind
with
your
that.
Background, yeah.
Why would I have a problem with that?
I'm not saying you have a problem.
I'm trying to see what this looks like on camera, because this could look really low rent. Me sitting here in front of my closet
full of
clothing.
You could close the closet door. That would be a good start.
That closet door doesn't even shut at this point. So I don't know that one's going to work. Yeah, I don't like this view.
Yeah.
Let's see if I flip it around and what you look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks pretty bad, too.
I know. Yeah.
If I just shoot the light.
Yeah, no.
This is
maybe we
live.
Don't do Facebook Live.
Yeah, maybe we don't. Maybe that's for teenage girls or something.
There you go.
Or when I'm in a professional radio.
Like Live Me. Have you been on Live Me?
No, what's Live Me?
See
girls on there?
You can have your own show. Billy Reno has a show on Live Me.
Of course he does. Why wouldn't he?
But you can see young girls.
I'm sure
on
it was
Live
a high
Me.
Dollar deal for and Billy to appear on
it,
there.
Yes, it is. You can have a show anytime you want.
We're going to talk more about Billy if you don't know who Billy is. We'll talk about Billy. So this weekend, I spent this week. I had a fun weekend.
You did? Doing
I went
what?
To Chicago for one day.
Wow.
Chicago. I went to Chicago for one day.
Why?
In fact, I don't even know if I went in the city of Chicago. I went to the airport, and then I went to the hotel, and then I went to a professional wrestling show.
Intentionally?
Yeah, it was great.
Really?
Ring of Honor.
You're a professional wrestling fan.
Yeah, I've talked about that before on this show.
Okay, if I said Leaping Larry Shane, would that mean anything to you?
I've heard the name.
Okay, that's pre you.
Before my time.
Yeah, that's back in the 60s. When I was arguing with kids in sixth grade whether or not wrestling was real.
If I said Kenny Omega to you, you wouldn't know who that is either.
No.
But that's who I went
but
to
I
see.
But I know The Rock. I know The Rock. Those guys.
Yeah, so anyway.
And?
I saw Ring of Honor Global Wars. It was on internet pay-per-view. You could have watched it at home.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I was sitting in the front row. It was a great time.
Was it a great time?
It was a great. Took tons of photos with my SLR camera. It was fun. I met some of the guys. I met... Toru Yano from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I have his autograph here. I met Yoshihashi, who was in the main event.
God. Oh, my God.
And they have their autographed 8x10s here. I'm a fan. I really am a fan of wrestling in a way that even though I've worked in wrestling, because I've been a ring announcer for Juggalo Championship Wrestling and ICP, I am a fan, and I will go to a show as a fan, and I'm not trying to be like... You know, above it all.
Because you think it's an entertaining
show.
I'm
entertained by it. Yeah, I love it.
But you know the people aren't real. They're just dancing, right?
Well, it's fine. It's good dancing.
Yeah. I don't know. We've done this move before.
You haven't seen
it. I'm going to dip you.
Well, if you saw... I don't know.
I saw back in the day.
Back in the day.
I went to a birthday party.
Yeah.
And I watched midgets wrestle back when midgets were midgets. Now, I guess it'd be little people. But
I've seen midgets wrestle.
Yeah, they were they came to somebody's house.
Sure, that's cool.
And just wrestled in their backyard. Yeah. And for some reason, this was entertaining. I'm not really sure. I don't get it.
But no, it's good. Ring of Honor, if you haven't seen them, or New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is the Japanese promotion. That's where those guys, I just showed you their photos.
Yeah, they looked Asian.
Yeah, they're Asian. They're Japanese.
Yeah.
They're from Japan.
Yeah.
And they do these sort of joint tours with the Ring of Honor, which is the American group. New Japan Pro Wrestling is from Japan. New Japan Pro Wrestling ran some shows in America in California, which I went to in July, which was my purpose for going there. But anyway, I digress. Really fun show in Chicago. Had a great time. Front row. Flew in, which we'll talk about.
You spent enough money on airline tickets
to go watch pro wrestling
of Japanese people in Chicago.
Well, there was Americans, too, and Canadians. Kenny Omega's from Canada.
But you could drive there in 4 hours.
Well, that was I'm going to ask you this. Because we're going to talk about traveling today with you.
Yes.
Here is my logic. If I fly to Chicago, it's $136 for a plane round-trip plane ticket.
And rent a car,
and that would have been about another $40.
Yes.
And then I'd have to pay parking fees or whatever.
Yes.
Versus, and I've had
It's going to be $40 a day.
Three tanks of gas.
So it's going to be at least $80
for the car. Well, 24 hours, I don't know. I mean, I got a quote on a car and passed on it. I took Uber. I took Uber to and from, which was fine. But here's the thing. How much was my time worth? Think about 3 tanks of gas, at least. Maybe 4. Depends on your car.
Joel, you can't go that way. Because if you talk about your time, you had to get to the airport
more
than an hour ahead of time to park your car.
I did.
So you got to drive to the airport. You got 2 hours at the airport before your flight takes off. And you got the same thing coming back. So you're wasting 3 hours.
But I'm not exhausted from driving.
Driving's not exhausting.
It can be. Chicago can be exhausting. There's a lot of traffic in Chicago.
Can you get a more comfortable seat than the seat in your car? I'm driving to Kentucky in a couple days.
Yeah.
8 hours.
Yeah.
I will watch golf. I will walk around the golf course for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Then get in my car and drive 8 hours
home. You know,
on the same
day. It all depends how you do it. It depends. You know, you have to remember Saturdays, I'm very busy at Comedy Castle. I work a long day. I teach my class. It was Sunday. Noon. I know that it's, but I mean, what's the difference monetarily?
Well, I think
$50, $60, $70, that's worth a day of my time driving.
You know, well, if this is what you want to spend your money on, Joel, I think it's fine.
I think you have to
list it as kind of a luxury. You can't list this as the best economical way to go to Chicago.
I'm getting older.
You could get on a train.
I could.
And go to Chicago.
That takes a long time. I did that a year ago to see Bruce Springsteen.
Long time? What? You're in the dining car. Do you really care how
long you're in the dining car? There's Amtrak. There might be. I don't know.
Yeah,
but the Amtrak's no more comfortable than an airplane.
I took a train from Nogales to Mazatlan, 18 hours.
Okay.
It was a 1930s train, and it had a dining car.
All right, listen. All I'm saying is you have to weigh the pros and cons for a trip like that.
It's a luxury. Yeah.
But I spent an extra $50 tops on this, and I didn't have the hassle of having my car, getting in an accident, having the car break down. I wasn't exhausted from driving 5 hours each way. I mean, granted, plane travel has its own stresses, and TSA goes through your bags, and you know, has to wipe explosive test strips over my Rice-A-Roni that I pack in my fucking
funny,
bag.
The funny thing about
but
this,
it's
though,
fine.
The tip, the very tip of this experience, this luxury experience, is watching pro wrestling.
Okay, but it was very good pro wrestling. It's the best in the world. It is the best that you can get.
The best fake wrestling in the world.
But you have to see. You don't know what.
That's
like
having the best fake tits in the world.
And, you would, and how far were you willing to fly for those, Ted?
Not to Chicago.
Wow, you could fly. Would you go to the strip club by the airport at least for that?
Maybe.
You know, but I'm not trying to convince anybody that this is a great thing that everybody needs to go to.
Now, maybe if they had
I'm saying that I enjoyed and I enjoyed going.
Maybe if it was a Tokyo Idol show.
What is a Tokyo Idol?
If you watch Netflix, there's a movie on now.
Okay.
It's called Tokyo Idols.
I don't know what
And they
that
have 10,000 girls
okay.
that are under the age of 14.
All right, okay.
That dance,
I'm not watching that.
That dance and entertain, and these older men come just to watch your show and get their autographs and shake their hands.
That sounds creepy.
It is creepy.
Now, I went and met Toriano. Now, let's look at Toriano. By the way, I can show you me and Toriano in a photo. Do you want to see that?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I believe that you got a photo with him. I can show you photos of Tokyo Idols, too.
No one needs that. That is not necessary. I don't know where Toriano is. Okay.
Oh, look at there.
Okay. Well, that was some of the photos I took.
I can't believe you even enjoy this.
Oh, I have a great time. And I enjoy photographing it as well.
But it's all fake.
Doesn't matter. It's fun. It's entertaining. I mean, everything's fake. A movie's fake. I haven't even really looked at a lot.
But, you know, they have real wrestling that's not fake.
They have amateur wrestling.
They
have college wrestling. I was a wrestler.
Yeah.
I was a high school wrestler.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Eh.
Okay.
4 years JV.
There you go.
How's that sound?
<All right. laughs> Bigger question, what was your weight class?
Well, it's funny. I weigh now less than what I wrestled at for some of those years because of weight loss.
You're kidding me.
Because of my regimen. There I am.
In high school? There you are.
There I am with Toriano.
With a very silly-looking big Japanese man.
Yeah, Toriano. He's
with
funny.
YTR on his T-shirt.
Yes, it means Toruyano. It's Yano Toru. See, they do their names backwards. The Japanese, the last name comes first. So it's Yamagito Seiko. If you want to be accurate with his name.
Arimas. Arigato.
Arigato. So desne. And that's Minoru Suzuki there. Minoru Suzuki.
Suzuki.
Suzuki-san, yes.
I like his scooters.
And then this is the great Yoshihashi here. I have a photo with him. I don't know where my Yoshihashi photo went, but anyway, it's in there somewhere. It was a fun time. I had a great time.
This is great. And do you think these guys are well paid?
Are they well paid?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
To be
they
a
come,
fake wrestler?
They come from Japan. There I am with Yoshihashi.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, a blonde Japanese wrestler.
He does sort of like a gimmick of like an anime character or something, or like a video game character.
Oh, anime.
Yes. I look pretty happy. Anyway.
All right.
So I went to Ring of Honor. It was fun. If you're
Chicago.
A wrestling fan, you might have even watched the show. It was a big deal. It was really fun. And it was a great time.
I think you're the only wrestling fan left. I really
no,
don't.
First
Come
of
on.
All, half the guys on open mic love wrestling. All these guys.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Bret Hayden and all these guys.
Why don't I like wrestling?
I don't know. Because you're not into it. You don't see it. And even if you did see it, it doesn't mean you're going to like it.
I saw it when I was a
But
a
if
kid.
you liked wrestling, if you were a wrestling fan and you found out, Joel went to that Chicago Ring of Honor show, you'd go, oh, man, that's so cool. That
really?
Sounds like really fun. That sounds like a great time. I wish I could do that.
No, I might
and
go,
I did that.
Yeah. Comic-Con or something like that
okay.
I might go to.
Okay.
But that's probably my limit.
So anyway, I went, and then there's a guy named Flip Gordon, who's a young guy.
Does he flip people?
He does. He's amazing. In fact, I'm
Well, that's like Leaping Larry Shane. Then,
well,
isn't
maybe.
It?
Let me see if I can find some Flip
Leaping
Gordon
Leaping Larry
photos
Shane was known for his drop kick.
Okay,
He'd
sure.
He'd run across the thing and jump in the air and kick people in the chest.
Sure.
Leaping Larry Shane.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is back in 1962.
Sure, yeah. Well, those were the days, man. It was okay. So I've got some Flip Gordon photos here, but anyway, so Flip Gordon is in a match with a guy named Will Ospreay. That's the guy. This is the two of them right here. I'm showing you. That's Will Ospreay on the left from England. He's got the Union Jack on his tights, and that's Flip Gordon.
Yeah, I don't want to look at his tights.
Well, but anyway, these guys do the high flying stuff, you know. So that's why they're Flip. But Flip's a young guy, and here's a Flip move here. I think you'll see here in a second. Let me see. Where is Flip going to fly? You see that? Look at that.
Yeah.
Watch him go.
He's flying.
He's doing a backflip off the turnbuckle
rope
onto Will Ospreay.
Who's not even in the ring.
No, they're outside the ring.
That's so illegal.
All kinds of crazy stuff. So anyway, it's funny. So Flip Gordon, and he's a young guy. I'm guessing he's 22, 23, 24, something like that. I don't know how old Flip is. Young guy.
Yeah.
And it's funny. So he had this high-flying match. Everyone's talking about what a great match it was and, you know, all this stuff. On the internet next day. Well, all the wrestling fans know this was his big breakthrough match.
Okay.
And I was ringside to see it, and I was excited, you know. And I'd never seen Flip Gordon wrestle live. I'm at the airport, and I'm walking to the airport the next day. I'm walking to my gate, and I'm just I literally hear a guy go, and then they wanted me to run in during the main event, so I had to do that. And I hear that, and I go, oh, my God, that's somebody from the wrestling show. And I was walking past guy. I would never would recognize him. I see it's Flip Gordon in like a ball cap.
Really?
And he's like video chatting. It looked like his mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's FaceTiming his mother.
He's FaceTiming his mother from the airport. He's flying. He's a young guy. His mommy. He's talking to his mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, oh, well, there's Flip. But I said, I don't really want to bother Flip because he's talking to his mom. But I'd like to congratulate him because it was such a great match. It'd be cool to do that.
That'd be a good excuse.
So I said, what do I do? How do I? Well, you know, I mean, I'm not a guy that's like, if I don't say, if it wasn't that match and his breakthrough match and telling him how much I liked it and, you know, all that stuff, I wouldn't have even bothered.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, you know what? As a comedian, if somebody saw me in the airport and said, I loved your show last night, I would be really tickled by that. I would go, that's really cool. Thank you, you know? And so I thought I would tried to make his day on some way. So what I had was I had my my ticket on me. Ticket from the show was in my jacket.
You decided you'd wave that at him.
No. So what I did is I took out a Sharpie and I took my ticket and I said, in fact, I have
Will you autograph it?
Well, I just said, I wrote him a little note and said, in fact, I'll tell you exactly what I wrote.
I wrote a note on your ticket.
I said, that match ruled. Thank you, Flip, on my ticket. It says Ring of Honor Global Wars on it. And so I wrote this, and then I went back to hand it to him while he was talking to his mom, and I figured that'd be it because I got to make my flight.
Right.
So I go back. He had left his little area where he was FaceTiming his mother.
Yes.
And I go, oh, shit. He's gone. This isn't even going to work now.
So he's gone.
Well, I walk another 10 feet, and I see him sitting at the gate.
Oh.
And I went up to him, and I shook his hand. And then I handed him the note, and I said, thank you. The match was great. We talked for a few minutes. And then he put it on his this is what Flip wrote on his Twitter. He says, a fan came up to me at the airport and gave me this and said he had a blast last night. It's things like this that make me love my job. And he has a picture of the ticket that I handed him.
Oh, my God.
He took a photo and put it on Twitter. So I made his day. It was
fantastic.
Exactly what I wanted to do. I'm very proud of that.
I'm so using that in the future.
Call for a good time. Call Ted Moss at So that was cool. I got to see Flip, and I it was a cool. It was a very cool.
Well, let me ask you a wrestling question.
Sure.
I mean, since you're a fan and you know all about wrestling,
I do.
I heard a story at one time, and I don't know if this is true or not.
Yeah.
But I remember back when I was in the sixth grade, mm-hmm. and Muhammad Ali was fighting for the championship.
Yeah, well, he did a sort of a wrestling versus boxing match.
No, he did a couple of them. No, he was boxing.
Okay, he's boxing.
He's
for
boxing.
The world championship.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, he was boxing. Okay. Who did he beat up? I can't remember.
Well, I mean,
his catch is Clay against, the first one he...
Sonny Liston was
Sonny
the
Liston.
Big first flight.
Yes, I was in
first,
sixth
first
grade.
First fight, yes.
Yeah, Sonny Liston, Cassius Clay.
Yes.
And he acted like such a jerk after the fight.
Okay.
But
this is where
I learned that there was a story that he had run into a wrestler, a professional wrestler someplace who had a big reputation, was well known.
Yeah.
And he said, you got to play a role. You got to act. You got to play to the crowd. And he decided that to be this bad guy that everybody wanted to see lose, he would come in and be this guy, and everybody would show up at his fights because they wanted to
watch him lose.
And actually, for the first 3 years he was champion, I really, as a child, was rooting for him to lose.
Yeah.
And who's going to beat this guy up because he's such a loudmouth? But then eventually he turned the crowd in his favor. Is that a true story?
It is. And the guy that you're referring to is a guy named Classy Freddie Blassie.
Oh.
He was a wrestler and a manager. He was a manager. When I started watching wrestling in the 80s, he was one of the big managers.
I knew you would know this.
Yeah. He would go. If you look up Classy Freddie Blassie, he was a guy that was all tan with like a shock of white hair.
Okay.
And then he had a real gruff voice, and he was a good talker.
Yeah.
The story is Ali used to go see Freddie Blassie like at the Olympic Auditorium in L.A.
Right.
And Freddie Blassie's known for "your pencil neck geek."
Yeah.
That's kind of his catchphrase.
And if you think about Ali when he started out, he was always making fun of the other guys.
Yeah.
He was always bad mouthing.
Well, he used to rhyme, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and all that stuff. Yeah.
He started rapping.
So he took a lot of his gimmickry from professional wrestling.
Right.
Because professional wrestlers talk a certain way because they want to talk their way into selling tickets.
Right. And he did that well. And actually, professional boxing kind of went up because everybody was interested in this loudmouth kid.
It's ultimately the same. It's fight promotion. And the way you promote fights is by doing interviews and running down your opponent. And that's what wrestling does, and that's what... boxing
does. Well, maybe I should do that in comedy. Before I perform, I should run down the town that I'm going to perform in.
And they all can come out because they
hate me.
At you?
I hate him. He's terrible.
We'll get to
and
that.
Then I'll win him over during the show.
You're going to have lots of opportunities to do that here shortly, I think. But anyway, shout out to everyone who was at Ring of Honor if you watched the Global Wars Tour. You can still get that on the internet, on pay-per-view there. And I'm in the front row, so you can see me in the show. You can watch the show and see me.
That will be a highlight.
Well, I don't know. Why not?
There's somebody I know.
There's Joel sitting there. Look at him having a good time.
Joel's got his mouth open watching these wrestlers.
Watching wrestling. Taking pictures. It was fun. I took some good photos, too.
Yeah,
I've gotten good at that.
And Chicago, you should have looked up my son.
Well, you know, I was there for a night, and this was in a town called Villa Park, Illinois, which is south and west of the airport of O'Hare. So I was not even in the city of Chicago. I know you said your son lives there and all that stuff, but I could not. I was there for one night. I flew in. I got in at about 1 in the afternoon, and the show was at – I got to the venue at 5 to meet Toriano and those guys.
Right.
And then the show was at 7 till 11, and I got back in the Uber and went back to the hotel and got on the flight the next morning.
Chicago's a great town.
It's
a happening town. Actually, my first trip ever to Chicago, I hitchhiked to Chicago with $5 in my pocket, not knowing anyone in the town, except a girl that was attending United Airlines stewardess school.
Ooh.
And I had met her in college,
okay.
And we had a brief thing, and then she went off to stewardess school, and I went back, and I was shoveling asphalt, got the day off, and I thought, well, I'll hitchhike to Chicago. Really didn't think it through.
How long did that take?
I don't know. It's probably, hitchhiking is about double the time, about 8 hours.
So
depends on
gotta,
rides.
Yeah. But do you get despised? I mean, I've never hitchhiked. I mean, you hitchhike in a day when you could hitchhike.
Oh, well.
Safely, I guess.
Well, my girlfriend hitchhiked with me sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
But you want to get picked up with people with long hair.
Yeah.
I had long hair, and
so
people with long hair would pick you up.
Would pick you
up.
Yeah,
because back in those days, the hippies were like mellow. Long hair wasn't redneck country.
Sure,
people.
It wasn't scary people.
No.
I think that Ted Bundy fella ruined hitchhiking.
Yeah,
because he was killing all those hitchhiking girls.
He didn't help.
But bad reputation.
Anyhow, I hitchhiked to Chicago and met the girl. She didn't even know I was coming.
Yeah.
No, this is pre-cell phones.
Okay,
I just showed up at United Airlines stewardess school.
And after hitchhiking.
And all the girls in their makeup and stuff and their false eyelashes with their buns on their head came over. Who are you? And I thought,
those were the days for
flight
attendants.
Well, United Airlines was the top of the top,
was
too.
It? Okay, yeah.
Not only were they good looking, they were charming. They had to have a certain charm if you wanted to work for United. So I was surrounded by they said, who are you here to see? And I said, well, I'm here to see Julie Teresa Maria Dolesky.
Oh, my goodness.
And I even remember her name, and it was so many years ago. And
Catholic girl, I'm sure?
Yeah. And so
four names.
Yeah, that's right. One she got to choose.
Four times the guilt,
So she came over and talked to me for a while, said she was busy that night, and I said, okay, see you later. And I walked out of there with $5 in my pocket and no place to sleep. So I went to a local motel. They were called motels back in the day. And asked if they had a broom closet or something I could sleep in for $5. And they said, no, but for $5, my daughter's boyfriend, who's coming by, will take you to the airport and you can pretend you're waiting for a plane. I said, that sounds good. And so he picked me up, and on the way there, he said, you want to go to a party? And I said, I'm not busy.
Wow. And we sounds so much fun. This is way better than my wrestling show already.
We went to this great party in Chicago. Yeah, all the kids that worked at the airport lived like it was almost a campus around the airport. And we all.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I went to this party.
Wow.
And we all did what we did back in the 70s to party. And eventually we all went in the bedroom. And
oh, my goodness.
When they suggested that, I got a nice place on the waterbed.
Really?
Because I thought this is going to.
Wow.
Started putting on the music and the incense and all that. I said, and next thing I knew, I was waking up and it was the next morning. And I was the only one there.
Wow, my goodness.
I was there alone.
You know, Flip Gordon and I did not touch each other in any way. Toriano, nothing. No reach around.
This is
from Suzuki
$5.
Or Yoshihashi.
Yes, I got all this.
I spent $100 to go to that
wrestling
show.
I didn't even spend my $5 at this point. Jeez. I still had $5 in my pocket to go
They're
back
just
home.
Giving sex away back then.
I didn't have
Oh, my
sex.
Goodness.
I just had a good sleep on the
I don't know what you had. You don't even know what you had.
Chicago. My toddling town.
I guess so.
My kind of city, Chicago.
Things are different today.
Yeah. You can still hitchhike to Chicago.
I guess.
You just don't want to go to the south side, I don't think, probably.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
Anywhere is fun.
Yeah.
If you're with the right people.
It is. Yeah, you being on the road anywhere is
all right,
fun.
So let's talk about what you're doing on the road here. You've got a big thing coming up. I don't know all that much about it.
Yeah.
I've heard some things through the grapevine. I've seen what you put on social media. We have not talked face to face about this until right now.
Well, you know what? But you were part of it because you helped me pick out the RV.
We did, yeah. We shopped for an RV.
And we went to a rattle trap. The guy wanted $60,000.
Ted hits me up and goes, will you go look at it? There's an RV for sale close to your house. Do you want to go look at it?
Supposedly.
Supposedly. It looked nice. I looked at the photos. It looked nice.
It was a little rattly.
I went there. We drove around in this thing. It was not that nice.
And the guy said, well, this was working earlier today.
Yeah.
And this doesn't work either.
I think that guy looked at it and it looked nice, and then he drove it and couldn't get out of his head that it wasn't as nice as he thought.
Yeah. He had just got a deal on another one. He upgraded,
and
he had in his mind what this was worth.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it was worth that.
Well, you know, that thing that we looked at, that was like, was it a Dodge Sprinter or something?
It was a Mercedes.
But it had a Mercedes engine, but it was like a Dodge.
Yeah.
Chrysler.
But it was a Sprinter. That's the big deal.
A Dodge Sprinter with a Mercedes engine, which could have passed for one of those Mercedes van conversion RVs. But it did not have the fit, finish, interior of a Mercedes.
No, it was kind of cheesy.
It was a Dodge, and then whoever did the RV conversion, did not do a great job either.
Yeah, it was
so
cheesy.
It was a little janky.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, look, you could have driven around in this and had a swell time and done whatever, but it was not worth the money that the guy was asking for.
No, and I made an offer, though.
Did you?
Well, don't you remember? I said, would you take
this
amount?
Yeah.
And he said no, and I said, nice to meet you.
Well, look, any guy that made the poor decision of buying that is going to make a poor decision about what it's worth when it comes to selling it.
Yeah.
So he's not a sophisticated guy because he should know this thing's a piece
of junk. Well, his problem is he already got the replacement.
So
in his head, he already had how much of that was going to be paid for by this.
He's burning
and he was wrong.
Car payments on this is my guess. Maybe he paid cash.
Right.
He's an older guy.
No. That's a good point.
I think, you know, because it's one of those things. You got the carrying cost
of
owning this thing, insuring it.
Yeah, but it's not that much. You know, they finance these things over
they do,
15
still.
Years. 15 years.
Yeah, okay.
My payment on the one I have now is less than $300 a month.
Because it's such an expensive vehicle? Or
no,
just
because
it's
a house.
Considered a house.
It's
I
a
gotcha.
House, so they'll
so you get basically a 15-year mortgage.
Yeah.
On a house.
Yeah, on a car.
Wheels.
Yeah.
House
yeah.
on wheels.
Yeah, you just barely pay anything, and then you lose your butt when you try to sell them.
Well, that's the thing.
We'll
but you also, you are paying essentially rent at the same time. Your mortgage payment is essentially rent.
Yes.
Or it's the hotel fee that you would have paid. So you're making it up on the other end on some level.
Well, kind of, sort of. It depends on where you park the thing.
You go to an RV
park.
I had an aunt and uncle that did that for years.
You know what? If I was going to do it, I'd get a really nice one.
Oh, they were loaded, too. My uncle had buku dollars, so he was a rich dude.
I don't know that you got to be loaded to have a really nice one. If you don't have a house.
Yeah, well, they did. They gave up their house to live in an RV.
Yeah. Well, I think you can get quite a nice one then.
And they would spend the winter in, like, Arizona.
Oh,
in
whereabouts?
A park. I forget. I don't know.
You don't know what city?
Arizona's all the same to me, right?
Prescott. I'm
Scottsdale.
Looking at Prescott.
I don't fucking know.
Nice.
But, I mean, they're all nice. They're
no, no,
all
no,
nicer
no, no.
than here.
No, no, no. Well,
Well, let's just say they were rich folks with a nice RV. I'm sure they were in a nice town.
Yeah, okay.
They were not in Breaking Bad making fucking meth.
They were not on the border.
They were not in cement pond.
They're not building the wall in their backyard.
And then when it was, you know, then they traveled the rest of the year. And they drive the RV up to Michigan to visit family and
stuff.
Oh,
there you go. Now, once they got up here, would they stay in the RV in the driveway or would they actually come in and sleep in the house?
I think at some point they sold the nice house that they had.
No. But if they visit you in the
RV. I think they probably stayed in their sons or daughters' homes or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend whose parents used to come to visit him in an RV, but they would refuse to stay in the house.
Yeah.
They would sleep in the driveway.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I don't like people sleeping. Because I was on a walk the other day.
Yeah.
And I walked past a house where there was an RV, and it might have been a trailer, not even an RV that you drive.
Right.
It might have been a trailer type RV.
Okay.
And I just went like, I think this guy's living in it. And I got a kind of a dodgy feeling about it. I was like, I don't know that I like that. And granted, this isn't like down the street from me. This was a mile from my house. I was on a long walk.
Hey, I might be living
and
in
I
one
went,
pretty
but
soon,
I, but I went
dude.
Like, I don't know if I like that as a neighbor. I don't know if I want to be a neighbor to that.
Well, you know what? I actually had the people in my subdivision complaining because I had mine parked in my driveway.
Ah.
And I said, this is part of my career. Part of my career is touring. Okay, yeah. I need this to tour. So it's part of my job to have this.
Yeah.
So I want an exemption from this bylaw.
Yeah.
And they said no.
So you have an association or something that says you can't park this fucking thing. So where's it parked now?
Well,
you ended up buying an RV.
Yes.
I guess that's the point.
I live right next to a parking lot for a golf course.
Okay.
And I leased the space. I went into them and said,
I will pay you more money.
Yeah. I will pay you to have this parked in your parking lot.
Yeah.
And they said, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're doing then with this RV. You bought an RV for what purpose? What are you doing with it? Tell everybody.
We're going on tour.
Oh my goodness.
We're doing a comedy tour around the country.
We're
going down the East Coast, through Florida, across through Texas,
LA,
might even go up to Seattle.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe back through Chicago. And maybe see some pro wrestling. And then back to me. Actually, I want to be back in Florida by mid-March.
Okay, so December to March?
Yeah, December 10th probably to about the same time in March, mid-March.
And who's on this tour? Does it have a name? What should we know about
it? It's the Broken Road Comedy Tour.
Broken Road Comedy Tour. But is it R-O-A-D or R-O-D-E?
You know what? That was a debate.
That is a debate. I see that.
I know.
I wasn't at this meeting.
We went back and forth.
Listen.
We're broke and we are road.
For a very...
Or is the road broken or what is it?
I will give you all this advice for a very affordable fee. It will not cost you much to get my expert
comedy
advice.
I know, $10.
Yeah,
take the class.
$10 at the senior center, but not
exactly.
A comedy castle.
No. That was...
So it is R-O-A-D.
It is R-O-A-D.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think either one's fine.
Yeah. We actually had a previous name and found out somebody else was always already using
that.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it turned out to be Broken Road.
Broken Road.
Yeah, and Billy Reno.
Yeah, I love Billy.
Is in the passenger seat.
Yeah, and he's a funny comic.
He is a funny, you know what?
And I like Billy.
Yeah, and Billy's about the same, I guess, seniority in comedy.
He also did my comedy class.
About the same time I did. I think we came through about the same time.
I think he probably did it before you, but yeah.
I don't think so.
Or something, or you did it just after him.
I think we both started, did Bill Bouchard's class about the same time.
Yeah, okay.
So anyhow, we're going to be on tour. And actually, we are doing an online show on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Broken Road Comedy Tour on YouTube. And every week we're going to post about a two-minute show, three-minute show.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we're going to just be old fat comics out there trying to find a place to perform. And if we can't find a place to perform, we're going to perform at trailer parks or truck stops or whatever. Actually, today we were discussing whether or not to get those little mic amps you can put on your waist, on your hip, and we'll carry microphones around and just talk wherever
just
we're
talk
at.
With your little thing.
Yes,
yeah.
And we're going to be filming it. And we've got a couple films up right now.
Well, there's portable PAs that, you know, you see street performers use and stuff.
Yeah.
And those are really easy. You can just cart those. I mean, strap it to a luggage cart.
Well, no.
It's the size of like a pull.
We have one of those.
A Pullman suitcase.
We have one of those.
Yeah,
but
good.
We want to actually be walking around in the crowd.
Sure, yeah.
And we want to do that, too. So
But you could set up at the town square or the mall or the street corner or the
But we might be at the truck stop and we don't want to plug in, so we got a battery powered amp, we got a mic in our hand, and we're out talking to the people.
All right.
And we're filming it with GoPro cameras.
Oh
and
my goodness.
So we're gonna have
So this is costing you big dollars.
Well, no, not really.
I mean relative.
I don't think it's relative
based on how much money you're bringing in.
Well, you can get a GoPro clone online for $60.
Okay.
No, I didn't do that. But if I was smart, I would. Our second one, we're going to have two cameras. We're going to do a two cameras show, and it's going to be kind of like American Pickers.
And cell phones are good too.
Yeah, we're going to have a camera on us as we drive.
Yeah.
And just our banter about where we're going and trying to get gigs and our conversations, walking into comedy clubs. We're going to show kind of behind the scenes of trying to be on the road and trying to find places to perform stand-up comedy. Probably not a lot of our performance. Other than street performance.
A little bit. Well, I think.
Well, a little bit in the clubs, but
I would say, you
the
know,
green rooms
10
or
second,
the bars
20
or,
second
yeah,
clips
yeah,
of
yeah,
the road.
Yeah,
you don't,
yeah,
you don't need to give away the whole show.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I think there's so many reality shows that are on TV or on the internet that are not real. And this is going to be a real show.
Well, they're not real for a reason.
Because they aren't good if they're real?
They're not as entertaining. You know, people that, when you're spending money on a crew, which you're not, and I get that, but when you're spending money on a crew, you want to make sure that something's going to happen for that crew, because that's expensive. That's, for some of those shows, it's probably, you know, $10,000 a day to have these people standing around filming,
and
they want to make sure that something's going to happen.
And
so
once we get picked up by a network, they can invest all the money in all the crew they want. You know?
And who's doing the technical end of this? Because this sounds like kind of a lot of work to edit and to tape and everything.
What you saw, I did.
Yeah, there's some clips that you have up now.
Yes.
And I watched them on YouTube.
Were they not good enough?
They were fine. I mean, I've seen, you know, I think there's some refinement that could happen.
Really?
But I think that will naturally happen.
I thought they were excellent.
I think is this your first, you did this and it's your first time doing it, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
You did it and it's your first time doing it. I think as a first time, it was fine. I thought it was good.
Oh, thank you.
For a first time.
Yes.
It is not professional video.
No, but it's not supposed to be.
Well, but there's also guys that are amateurs on YouTube that school that shit.
Yeah, but you know what?
And
when you look at shows on TV who are trying to look like the reality shows,
they're
shaking the camera. They are, and doing
I get
things.
That, sure.
Okay, and that kind of stuff comes natural with me.
Okay, my advice to you is to watch as much YouTube amateur stuff as you can. And try to at least see what people are doing for very little money.
We are.
You know, and some people have, you know, nicer cameras. They'll do, you'll see drones. I'm not saying you have to get a drone, but you'll see that in some of these guys now. Amateurs.
Well, did you notice? Drones. Did you notice some of the pictures is following the RV?
Yeah, how does that work? I had a question about that.
Well, we had Billy driving the car, me driving the RV, and my daughter filming it out of the sunroof.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. When you go on the road and it's just you and Billy, who's going to be following the car?
Oh,
you're going to have to find a local guy?
Have you ever been to Hooters? You can hire those girls cheap to do anything you want.
But I mean,
you can.
I would think you need three people to do this because one person is not doing, guys are the thing, and then I think you need the third person.
Veronica Douglas wants to come on the trip in a bad way, but I don't think we need a technical.
Okay.
No. I think we'll do okay.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? If you look at some of these videos, there's just people sitting there talking into the camera.
You're killing me right now, and you know why. But keep going. I like what you're saying. We're laughing amongst ourselves, and I apologize to the people at home. But, yeah, okay, so you think you're good with two people.
I think we're real with two people.
Well,
now look at it. We're gonna have two GoPro cameras. We're gonna wear them on our bodies when we walk in.
Okay.
We can film each other filming things.
Yeah.
And we can edit it. It's gonna be good enough for who it's
for. What are you using to edit? Laptop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Yes.
What are you using for software?
I'm using the GoPro software.
Okay. All right.
You know, which is good enough.
I thought your YouTube videos looked, like I said, the YouTube videos were good.
Not bad.
I'm wondering in case anybody's. You know, I don't do a lot of video editing. I know how to video edit. I know how to. When I went to college, my video editing was on like two VHS tapes and a control board with a million buttons and faders and queuing things up. And then I learned how to do it digitally. A million years ago when I started stand up, I was producing, you know, digitally recorded multi-camera shoots when it was really difficult to do those.
Right.
Now it's real easy.
Right.
But one thing I don't like about video editing is the time that it takes to line up everything and to render things out. How are you finding that?
Line every. I don't even know
what
that
means. Well,
you know,
like, you know, you have timelines and you have you have two pieces of video, two different angles on the same thing. You have to line them up in the software and make
that
work.
Well, the GoPro software is really easy.
Cut. Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
No, you just take the clips and you just put the clips in the order you want them in.
Yeah.
And if you want to split a clip, you can split it at a certain point, and that way this. You can go full speed on this one, half speed on that one, or then you can blend the two together, and you can cut out a middle section
because
you can choose what part of the clip you can what your start point and stop point is within the clip. It's pretty easy, and I think just a few times through, I'll have it down pretty good. Now, my background, I don't know if you know this, but I taught myself CAD, and I used to make three-dimensional structures of commercial buildings with all the walls and all the ceilings, all the reflections.
That's challenging.
So, and that's what I did professionally for a number of years. But I'm just trying to put a little funny video on YouTube.
No,
I'm not trying to compete with some big show.
You know, people create monsters for themselves. And, you know, it's like guys who have the, you know, I'm going to soup up this old car. I'm going to restore a car. And it sits in their fucking garage for 20 years.
No, dude, I'm doing...
they can't do that.
I'm doing a two-minute show. I'm doing a two-minute show.
But people get obsessed with things. And people get it to where it consumes their lives. And it ruins their lives. And it can ruin their friendships of people that they enjoy hanging out with.
And I have nothing better to do, dude. What am I going to do? Get in the morning?
I'm giving you fair warning.
All right. But I'm just saying, if I'm doing stand-up...
It's not easy.
And we get a gig...
It might be harder than you think.
I'm doing 10 minutes at night of stand-up.
Okay.
I'm looking at some real estate along the way.
All right.
I got nothing to do but edit and find a place to perform. What else am I going to do?
Drive? I don't know.
Well, I got somebody else to drive. I got a chauffeur.
Well, listen, here's a question then.
Well, I want to hear what the thought of the two videos. Did you notice
I'll review these videos. You can see them on, I believe one of them had 2 likes, which was the start.
And one of those likes was probably from me.
Yeah, probably. The other one was probably from Billy. And there you go.
There's two likes.
Everyone's accountable
for it. Well, did you like them?
I liked them. I didn't like them. I liked them. I didn't actually click the like.
This is what I get.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
I thought, again, for first-time videos, they were terrific. They showed what you're about to do. I'm interested in seeing this not as the dry. Because, you know, the one video is, here's the start of the tour. Well, you didn't fucking go anywhere because now you're here. So that's sort of a
fake start of the tour. Okay, well, it's kind of a Gilligan's...
It's a concept.
It's a Gilligan's Island thing.
It's a pilot.
We're telling you what's going to happen.
I got
you. Now, the other one is more like what the video is going to be.
Okay.
And I don't know if you noticed, but the other one had an opening,
and
it had an ending with a theme song.
Okay, I did. I liked the song.
Actually, that was my son singing.
I saw that in the credits.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Oh, thank you. And
I actually was watching that going... I don't know where Ted got this song, but it's pretty good. And I hope you didn't use a song that you needed to pay for, because that'll fuck up your YouTube shit pretty quickly.
Well, actually,
the fact that it's your son, you have permission, and it's all good.
Well, the other one I did, I used Peter Gunn.
Oh, okay.
And also The Ventures was the drum song.
Okay, yeah.
That. And I got permission from both those people to do it.
Okay.
I talked to the people in New York City, got authorization.
Really?
YouTube shut it down. I got it back up and running because I got authorization. So I went through that step.
Basically, they take your money, I think.
That's fine. They're going to monetize it.
They're going to monetize it.
They're going to monetize it
until
I get 10,000 hits.
Make profit from it. Because I put up videos from like Bruce Springsteen shows.
Yeah.
And immediately...
No,
they don't shut it down. What they do is they go, I had Bruce Springsteen playing Born to Run at Wrigley Field. So they put a thing on it that says this is Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. And you can click on the link to buy a copy of Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
And I think if there was revenue from that video, it would go to Bruce Springsteen and not to me.
I think
to his record label.
I think there's some split in it. I think you get something.
Okay.
I think you'd get half.
I have a video of...
But it doesn't matter.
I have a video of Governor Chris Christie dancing at a Bruce Springsteen show. It's quite funny.
I'll bet.
Because he's big and fat, and he's dancing around.
I'm surprised he dances. Yeah,
it's pretty good. And that's gotten 10,000 views or something.
Oh, see, that's good.
And I don't think it's made me any money, but whatever. It's up there.
You know, well, I think the object of the exercise is to have a show that's funny enough where people come back and watch another two-minute clip next week. Now, I personally think if I knew somebody in the comedy community here in the Detroit area that was going to go around the country, and they're going to put out 12 clips or 14 clips as they travel in different cities, I'd probably watch it.
I will
clip.
Watch your clips.
Yeah,
I like your. I like you. I like Billy. I think it's an experiment.
Yeah.
Now look, I think this thing. I'm going to warn you though here while you're here because I like you.
You're going to tell me why I shouldn't go.
And here's especially. I like. Here's the other thing. Here's the other reason I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
I like Billy. And if you and Billy aren't getting along, it's gonna suck.
I own the RV.
You do. That's why I'm warning Billy via the power of this podcast.
Yes,
Billy
yes.
will be able to listen to this conversation.
Yes,
and Billy, you're not here.
Yes,
but you're listening. I hope. And I am telling you this: Ted owns the RV.
There you go.
You're gonna have Ted's the boss. Whether I know you're going, no one's the boss. We're
you
all
know,
friends.
You
you're
know,
the boss.
He showed up. He
you're
showed
the
up,
boss.
He showed up to film today.
Yeah.
And I said, we have to come up with some concepts for our first little films. He came up with his first concept today. Mm. And it was of a video of him at the police station interacting with the police and them chasing him. And I'm like, well, what's my role? He said, well, you're going to film it.
Oh, so said, maybe Billy's the boss. So,
I don't know. I'm not. Hold on.
Maybe you divide. Maybe he's the director and you're the cameraman or you're whatever. Or you're the editor.
Well, he doesn't know how to edit anything. He doesn't know how to film anything.
Like, I don't know what he knows.
I own the camera. I own the RV. And I don't even have a part in the movie.
This is a terrible idea.
I know. I said, that one's not getting produced.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Billy, look, you're retired.
Yes.
You're a little older than Billy. Billy's a young man.
Yes.
Relatively young man.
Yes.
I don't know how old Billy is, but he's in his 30s, maybe
40s? Oh, no.
Billy's in his 40s?
Yeah.
Okay. So Billy's in his 40s.
Yeah.
But Billy's also should be working and making money. And he's going on this tour.
Has Billy ever worked and made money?
I don't fucking know, but let's assume he has. He's a smart guy. I'd employ Billy.
You know what? He's had a lot of good jobs.
He has.
He worked in the food industry, I know, for a number of years. But this is kind of a fun shot for 3 months.
How much money do you expect to make on this? And listen, I know if you're going, the answer is I don't expect to make money. That's fine.
Yeah.
But what if who's paying the expenses if you're not making money? All of these questions. These
I
are
know.
Questions that I have.
I know.
And these are things to think about. These are things for Billy to think about. So I'm asking.
Well, I think if you're looking for reasons not to do it, there's plenty out there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, everybody that's not doing it has a damn good reason why
they're
not doing it.
I have a great reason not to do it.
There you go. And I think a lot.
I quit doing comedy on the road where I was getting paid every night.
Yeah, there you go. And I think there's a lot of good reasons not to do it.
Yeah.
But the question is, why continue to do comedy?
I understand.
If you're going to the same place over and over and over, doing the same bar, same thing.
Right.
Okay, I got a new bit I'm going to do that's 3 minutes of something new. I'm going to do it next week. At some point, you go, either I'm done doing this or I've got to do something else. And
well,
we're kind of at that point. Like, you know, where's it going to take
me? I got you.
No, we're going to be on Leno.
I just
Or Leno's gone. We're going to be on The Tonight Show.
Financial pressure. Is a reason why people don't do things like this. And it's not just the money of the road. You go, okay, so it's...
I can go broke at home, or I can go broke on the road.
$20 a day on gas or whatever, and you feel like that's all you need to spend, and you're going to sleep in the RV, so that's cheap. But then you got food. You've got expenses back home.
Hold it.
You've got things like
the
that.
Food's not an extra expense. You're going to have that whether you're home or gone.
Okay.
Right?
Well, but is food more expensive to prepare on the road? Or are you eating at restaurants just for the convenience? You're tired. You don't want to make a meal. You just say, fuck it, I'll stop here and get this.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
it gets more expensive.
Well, not if you're getting McDonald's hamburgers and you got peanut butter and jelly. We got a refrigerator and cabinets. We got a stove. We got a sink. I mean, it's not anymore. I'm not going to eat out anymore on the road than I am at home.
I went to Chicago. I didn't eat out at all. I brought all my own food.
Yeah, but you have a weird diet.
I do have a weird diet.
Yeah. So.
It was wonderful not spending money.
Well, you should bring your own food everywhere you go.
TSA hated my fucking guts.
I'll bet they did.
Because I packed all my food, and they go, we have to test all your food. I go ahead.
How do they test it? They eat your food?
No, they take a strip of something, which I'm guessing detects gunpowder or some sort of explosive. And
they wipe your food?
And they wipe the food on the outside. So I had Clif Bars in wrappers, and they tested those.
On the outside of the wrapper?
Instant mashed potatoes that are in those little cups that you peel back the thing.
You eat instant mashed potatoes?
When I'm on the road, I do.
Man, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
But here's the point.
I can eat potato. You know how cheap carrots are?
Carrots are very... Listen, again, I'm worried about Billy. Let's talk about Billy.
Well, get Billy in here.
Billy's not
him.
In here. I'm Billy for the purpose of
this. Am I supposed to be worried
conference.
About Billy? Billy is fine.
I worry that Billy's
Billy
going to be gone for 4 months
he
and
was
Billy's
concerned
not going to be able to make any money
doing
this.
3 months.
Three months.
Billy was concerned if he didn't go, you probably would.
Oh, well, Billy's out of his goddamn mind to think I'm going.
I think it's going to be a great experience.
Look, I like what I'm doing.
I'll tell you what I
and
did.
This sounds like fun. Don't get me wrong. This sounds like fun. I just don't know that this sounds like a thing that, you know, the financial peril to me would be a reason why I can't do
it. We can work along the way. You know what? I went to Colorado. I went to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and spent a winter out in Steamboat Springs.
Okay.
3.5-4 months.
Yeah.
Skied every day, all day.
Yeah.
Went with $70 in my pocket. made half a car payment.
Okay.
Got different jobs, different odds and ends. Eventually had a job at the restaurant at the top of the gondola at Steamboat Springs, so they gave me a free season's pass.
All right.
So I worked 3 days a week and skied 7 days all a week. Right. I skied down from work. Then saved up enough money to go on a trip to Mexico.
Ugh.
And then drive back across the country.
But it's not 1975.
Bought a guitar?
It's not 1975.
Well, it's the same
you're
thing.
You're not 22 years old.
It's
dude.
The same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It is.
It's not.
Everything is the same.
It's not. It's a different world out there. I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, you think I can get
gas was 50 cents a gallon probably when
gas
you were
gas is cheaper today than it was when I was in college.
If adjusted for inflation.
Yes. If you take a multiplier of 10, and that's what it usually is. People are making 10 times
Listen,
what they used to
I,
make.
I,
houses cost 10 times as much.
Yeah,
gas
yeah,
costs
yeah.
tons. Right. It's not any more expensive to live today than right. it was back
Let me
then.
Ask you this.
Yes.
What's the...
downside.
Well, no. What's the emergency plan? What's the backup plan?
They have airplanes.
Shit's going wrong. What do I do?
You can Uber home.
You have not thought of this until just now.
Because I own the RV.
You own the RV. You're not coming
home. I can drive. I can drive home.
That's why I'm talking about Billy.
He can Uber home.
Billy.
He can grab a plane.
Oh, shit.
You know, you get a flight for $50 from anywhere.
Then who's in the movie if Billy's out? You're going to fly somebody else down
there? No. I don't have to do the movie. Look, here's what's happening. I get to leave Michigan for the whole winter.
Yeah.
I'm not up here shoveling the driveway.
That's fine.
Hang on. I am interested in leaving Michigan anyhow and buying real estate.
Yes.
This takes me down to Florida where they're giving away real estate because everybody wants to leave that place now. So I get to tour the country.
Yes.
I get to look for real estate. I get to decide if I'm going to move to Arizona or Florida, California,
yes.
maybe the Myrtle Beach area. I don't know.
All
I get
right.
to see all this time and take my time. If I find a nice place, I stay there for a week, 2 weeks,
Interesting.
Place on the beach. And for something to do, I'm doing stand-up comedy a couple days a
okay,
week.
Okay, how many gigs have you booked on this tour?
Zero.
All right. Do you plan on booking them in advance, or do you plan on
no.
just showing up?
No. Well, we plan on booking everyone in advance
yeah.
of walking in the door.
But
I mean,
when
we'll
does the
calling,
club find out that you're coming?
Well, we will call them
yeah.
ahead of time. But one of the things we want to do is we want to get a couple of movies up and videos up
All right.
so we can send a link to the club
that's
and
a
say,
good idea.
Here's
okay.
who we are,
yeah.
and we want to do stand-up. So they know we aren't just some yahoos, that we actually do some
yeah,
comedy.
You're actually yahoos, though.
Well, we are. But we're kind of funny yahoos.
You're funny yahoos. Listen, if I went to a comedy club and saw you and Billy performing, I would enjoy that.
Well, you know, I mean... We don't care if we're doing open mics.
But
dude.
If you were,
we don't
if
care
you were,
what we're doing.
You know, if you were at the truck stop or the gas station, maybe
that'd be
that
hilarious. We're going to do some KOAs. We're going to do some truck stops. We are. You know, Steve Martin
yeah.
actually did drive-in theaters.
Okay.
He actually stood out in front of a drive-in theater, told people jokes.
That's what
driving.
You should do. You should do comedy at
I
the
think
drive-in
be hilarious.
Theater before the movie.
Come on. I think that'd be great.
I think that's a good episode.
I do, too. Right. I think. See, if we right. don't get good gigs, we have lousy gigs.
Yeah.
It makes the show funnier.
All right.
If we get good gigs, not so funny. But if we're struggling, what a great show that is.
Yes. Interesting. let me ask some other practical questions.
All right. About the tour.
About the tour.
All right, sure.
All right. So it's two guys.
Two guys in a,
two single,
in a truck.
Two single guys.
In a truck.
In a truck.
Looking for love.
Is there, yeah, is there any sort of protocol for that? How does that happen? How does that work?
For ladies?
Do you tie a bandana on the door of the RV?
Put a sock.
Put a sock on it? Yeah. What do you do?
No.
Is there a sign?
No.
If the RV's a knocking, don't
it's
come
rocking. If it's rocking, don't come knocking.
If it's knocking. If the RV's a knocking, put 93 octane fuel in it, I think is what you do. But what is the... What?
Ha ha ha. We'll take suggestions, Joel. What would you suggest?
But I mean, you know, it's two guys and you're both single, and
I don't think we're getting lucky enough to worry about that, dude. I'm old and Billy's not very active in the dating community.
What about
currently.
Like truck stops and stuff? Aren't you there girls over there?
You know, Billy used to drive trucks.
Yeah, okay.
And he has told me about truck stops.
Oh my goodness. What goes on there?
Yeah, it's
you hear the legend, but I don't know.
No, it's scary. He says some truck stops, they will keep you up all night knocking on your door. And so there's some secret signal or something you can put outside to say, don't bother me, I'm not interested.
Oh, they will knock the signal?
I think they sell signs inside the truck stop that says, go away ho, or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
But there is a sign you can put on your vehicle that says,
Is it women or men knocking on the door of the RV?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of both. And if we don't have any money, might be us. We might be us knocking.
I was going to say, I'm sure that pays better. I'm not guessing. I know that pays more than comedy on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll be just telling jokes.
Listen,
open up your truck, listen to a joke.
I could not afford to live on telling jokes for 30 minutes on the road.
Yeah.
If I was blowing guys for 30 minutes a night, I think I'd be okay. Well,
yeah, I don't know. It depends on how good you are, I guess.
I was good at stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make money doing that.
Yeah.
But listen, I wish you luck.
Well, we're going to have fun. If nothing else, we're going to have fun. It's going to be a vacation.
Yeah.
We're going to be in warm weather.
Sure.
You're going to be shoveling snow.
Yeah.
We're going to be on a beach.
Yeah.
How bad can it possibly be?
I'm pulling that clip.
All right.
I will be playing that back sometime in February when you're back here.
Come on.
And the RV
broke
down.
You saw the videos. We're hilarious.
The videos are funny. Look.
Come on. Wasn't it entertaining? Didn't you? Tell me you didn't laugh.
I laughed. Okay. You did a thing. Let me ask you this. There's a point in one of the videos. I don't know if it's the first or the second one. I'm not sure the timeline of which when they were.
One is the story. The other one is just a little episode.
The one where you guys are actually doing, you're on the road. And Billy gets in the car. And you're drinking out of these water bottles.
That I filled up at the Flint water plant.
Right. Oh, is that why? Because there's a thing. You know, when I would tour with Insane Clown Posse, you know, there's rules about tour vans. In tour buses.
Hold it. Didn't you watch the opening? Didn't you see where I went?
I did. You went to Flint Water.
And did you see?
I thought it was a joke. This is why I'm asking. See, now I get the joke. I didn't. This is what my problem is, that there's a joke about you don't drink out of water bottles on the van. Do you know why?
Well, people are pissing in the water.
People piss in the water bottles.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a tour bus rule.
Yeah.
If you get thirsty, you don't grab a water bottle that you find on the van because somebody took a piss in it.
Well, I totally
But that
get
was
that.
Flint Water. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't you watch?
I
the
did.
Video?
You know, I'm not that bright.
Okay. Did you notice it said T.D. Moss?
It did.
The water plant.
So who was T.D. Moss and how did they work at the Flint water plant?
My grandfather was director of public works for the city of Flint when they built the water plant.
Interesting.
I had to go to the water plant and get permission.
Yeah.
And the security is tight.
Yeah, it better be.
At the water
plant. It is now. It wasn't then.
I'm out there, bent over, talking to the speaker, going, I just want to take some pictures.
Yeah.
Will you let me? And they're like, what? So I had to go into the water plant because that plaque is inside the front door.
Huh.
I had to get security to open it up, let me go in, and get permission to take pictures inside the water plant.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then later in the video, to introduce Billy, he points to the map like we're going to Reno, Nevada.
Oh, I got you.
And wrote Billy Reno on
Billy
it.
Reno.
So both names were in the credits there. That was kind of our mini credits.
That's good.
Come on. The printing, that was kind of cute.
It's fine. Watch the videos. I'll have links to those on joelradio.net. You can go over there and watch Ted.
We get all four views.
And wish Ted and Billy the best of luck, and maybe we'll talk on the road.
Yes.
Maybe you can call into the show.
Oh, we can do a remote show from the truck stop in the middle of the night.
You can tell me who's knocking on the door. And we'll talk to those girls or those guys.
There
or
you
whoever
go. There you go.
Or a little bit of both, whatever you're doing. It's an experiment.
And I appreciate your
meteoric review
of the videos.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm being honest, and that's what you want from me.
No.
You don't want me to blow smoke up your ass.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, okay. But I want to give you my experience in stand-up, my
Make
experience on the road.
Make me better.
Is something to think about. And, you know, YouTube and video and sort of internet things like this show are things that I know a little bit about making them and finding an audience for them, and it's very challenging.
Well, you know what? We actually had somebody that we were going to send all the raw video back to,
yeah,
and they were going to actually make the
shows
for.
And make the shows, yeah.
And we talked to somebody about that, and we have nothing to pay them.
No, that gets expensive.
That's going to be unless you would like to volunteer.
Oh no, you know, I'm out of that game.
But you know a lot about it.
I said I don't like editing video.
Well, yeah, I know,
I haven't done it really in years. People ask me like, "Hey, I've got this clip of me doing stand up. Can you edit it, put it on YouTube?" And I'm like, "Nah, I don't know if I can do that."
It's only for 3 months, Joel. All right. It won't take that much.
Well, listen,
My
guess is it's for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
My guess is it's for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I think it's two clips, and
you know what?
There
should be an over under on that.
Someone's going to break it. Someone's going to break into your RV. You steal your GoPros and then you're fucked.
No, we got a gun.
Oh, Jesus. Fucking. Well, there's the video. You getting
we're
murdered with your own gun.
Yes.
This is good.
Concealed carry.
Do I have your permission to release this to the press after you're murdered on the road?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Please.
I will do that.
Please do.
Anyway, the Broken Road Comedy Tour, Ted Moss, Billy Reno. Look for it on YouTube or at the truck stop, at the Loves.
Facebook.
At the Sheets, trying to think of the other. What are the other truck stops?
I don't.
The Flying J's.
KOA.
KOAs.
The parks.
Campground.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Look for those guys. They're out there.
Drive-in movie theaters.
Do
they exist anymore?
Adult
I don't
bookstores.
There you go.
The Lion's Den.
Wouldn't that be
all
funny?
Over the country,
dude? We are so doing the Lion's Den. We're going to be entertaining people as they walk into the den.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Stop. We want to hear a couple jokes.
Hey.
You know what? I have jokes that they would probably like.
Yeah. Hey, what's in the bag? Let's guess. Butt plug or vibrator? Yeah. Let's go. Blow up doll.
We can interview them as they go in and as they come out.
Why don't you do Monty Hall and you go, hey, I'll give you, I've got.
Oh, trade.
Yeah.
Well, I'll trade for what's in the box.
Show me a butt plug. I've got $12 for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. If you can pull out poppers and I'll show you. All right. Well, let's change topics.
All right.
Because this is
too fun.
This is too much fun.
Yes.
Let's bore people with movies and television, because that's what you say when I talk about these things on the show. Yeah. All right. So I'll start here. I know you saw some Netflix stuff, but I'll start with some at the theater.
Okay.
Very good. Getting great reviews. Blade Runner 2049.
Yay.
Sequel to Blade Runner, which I think is from 82 or 83, Ridley Scott's movie, starring Harrison Ford. This one stars Ryan Gosling from La La Land, who I know you're a fan
of
La La Land.
I do like Ryan.
I sent you photos from the La La Land location when I was in Los Angeles.
Very cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So you get Ryan Gosling, and this actually takes place in Los Angeles in the year 2049.
Did Harrison make a cameo in this?
He's in this. Now, I feel like when they made this movie, they would like it to make a surprise that he's in it. But he's in the trailer. So I don't feel bad giving away that surprise, because it's not really a surprise, and I knew he was in it anyway because I saw clips of him in it.
I like him because you can tell what year it is because his nose actually gets more crooked each year.
Well, he's very – but, I mean, his character, you know, takes place 30 years after the events of the first Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, Blade Runner, the first one, very atmospheric sci-fi movie. A little light on plot, high on atmosphere, sort of a noir, sort of almost like a 50s detective story.
Really?
About he was a Blade Runner. He was a cop that was supposed to hunt down replicants, meaning human, android, sort of, you know, manufactured human beings. That you can't tell that they're androids.
Right.
Or they're replicants.
Right.
But that was his job. Was to do that. That was the job of the Blade Runner. And so that was Harrison Ford's job in the first movie.
Why is
in
he
the
running them down?
New movie, are they
are they
I forget
bad
what
people?
The plot was in the first one. In the new one, the plot is that Ryan Gosling is the Blade Runner. And Ryan Gosling's job is you have to kill all the old model replicants.
Oh.
Because they, I forget what the story
is. Does he kill them with a blade?
They can't
control
them. I don't know why they're called Blade Runners. They have guns. They have guns.
They aren't gun runners.
And the
Blade Runners
are sort of immune to some of the things that would kill a person.
Oh.
They're not quite like Terminator.
They're
way more human.
The replicants are the Blade Runners.
In this case, Ryan Gosling is a replicant. He is also the Blade Runner. I guess the Blade Runner could be a human being, but in the future, human beings, because of pollution or nuclear war or something are sort of on the outs, and it's mostly replicants.
Okay.
And so it's a kind of a war between humans and replicants.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling is a replicant. The plot of the original Blade Runner was that Harrison Ford was this cop trying to find these replicants. The big twist in that movie was that he actually was a replicant and didn't know it.
Oh.
That was the twist on the original Blade Runner.
Sixth Sense.
And this movie, you know he's a replicant right from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he goes. And
but he's on the side of the humans.
He is being hired by humans to find these replicants
and
kill them.
So it's all about killing the AIs is what it is.
Essentially, yeah. You've seen movies like that before. Yeah. But again, this movie's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's beautiful as all get out. If you've seen Blade Runner, this one looks and feels like that first Blade Runner.
Can I watch this one without seeing
the
first
one? Yes, you can. Okay. And I think it's a better movie than the first Blade Runner.
Really?
I really enjoyed it.
I might watch
it. It's directed by a guy named Denis Villeneuve, I think. He's a
French-Canadian
fella. Yeah. But he made a movie called Prisoners a few years ago with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal that was really good.
Yeah.
And he made a movie called The Arrival, which came out last year. With Amy Adams, that was very good.
Amy Adams is in everything.
Yeah, and she's great, and this guy's a great director, and everybody's good in it. It's a lot of fun, lots of tits, if you like tits.
Yeah.
Do you like tits?
Well, in person, I do.
Yeah, well, and if you like do you like artificial robot tits?
In Ex Machina, I did.
And that's a good movie, Ex Machina. Yeah, that's
is it Machina?
I think it's Machina.
Yeah,
I
would like to see it again. I can't even locate
that guy,
where to see it again.
I saw it on Amazon.
I'd like to see it again. That's worth
that guy
twice.
Has a movie that's coming out, and I don't know the name of it. It's with Natalie Portman. It's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
That's his next movie.
Yeah.
It was a trailer in front of Blade Runner at the theater the other day.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
You know what? I don't know.
And that guy, Oscar Isaac, that was in Ex Machina, is in that new movie. With Natalie Portman.
Let me take this off subject just a little bit, because I love the idea, the concept of AI.
And Ex Machina and Blade Runner, a lot of parallels.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's about AI and whether they have a conscious self-awareness or whatever. But have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Sam Harris?
He's a director?
No.
What is he? What does Sam Harris do?
No, he's a philosopher.
Oh, okay, Sam Harris.
He's kind of a brainiac.
All right.
And he does some kind of podcast. But he does everything from debating as an atheist against religious people to talking to people who are looking into the future.
Mm.
And he had a really good show on recently about AI.
Okay.
And the question is, does it exist?
Yes.
Will it exist? When it exists, what should we do?
Yes.
And the Ex Machina movie was about AI breaking out.
Yes, it is.
And the question is, when it does exist, because it will, are we going to try and contain it?
Yeah.
You know?
It's something to think about, yeah.
And will it eventually break out? And once it breaks out, can we control it?
The Blade Runner is so far, linearly speaking, in human existence, it's so far down the line that you can't tell that the replicants aren't human, and they have whole things about, you know, how do replicants have sex? Who is their relationship? He has a companion. He has a wife,
they don't have to have sex the way we have sex.
And you see that in this Blade Runner 2049.
I mean, make it
his wife is like a hologram.
Oh.
Only he can see her, and he has a little thing that he can carry with him to have her around, and she can change into various outfits.
Oh.
And it's crazy. It's really cool. They really thought it out, the world of Blade Runner. I think it's better than the first movie. It's very long. It's maybe not for everybody, but it is beautiful. I think there's going to be Oscar nominations. Probably for the editing, the design, the cinematography, maybe the acting, maybe not. I'm not sure.
I'm always thinking these are Me Too movies, that we made money doing this, so now we're going to do it again.
You know what?
And the second one, the follow-up.
But Blade Runner is one of these movies that I think was a flop initially in the 80s. Because you had Harrison Ford literally in the middle of the Star Wars trilogy making this other sci-fi movie
that kind of bombed.
Yeah, it was between Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi was the time that this was made.
Right.
And the movie, because it was really an adult movie, kids really couldn't go to the first Blade Runner. There was hookers in it and stuff. And so, you know, you needed, it was a flop at the time, but it became so critically acclaimed over the years and such a cult favorite.
Is it a cult?
Yeah,
it's a cult following.
They keep reissuing it on DVD and Blu-ray every few years and doing director's cuts and all kinds of stuff. And I think this movie really lives up to that.
Wow.
Again, this movie, from what I've read, did not make the money that they spent on it. You know what I mean? So even this movie is a little bit of a disappointment, but I think it's worth a look. I think it will live on. I think it's one of those movies that people will be watching in 5 and 10 years and 20 years, hopefully. It's very good.
Always think that a movie is going to make one-third of its revenue in the first week.
Okay.
That's kind of numbers. My daughter used to be in the movie industry, and I kind of watched that.
Yeah.
And that seems to be kind of true.
That would be good if they did.
Yeah.
But I don't think they all do.
No, they don't. I think the movie industry is dying.
And I don't know how this one did, but anyway, we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
But they got my money, and I enjoyed it. So right, Blade great. Runner 2049.
I will watch it, too. It's probably on demand right now, I would guess.
No. It literally opened 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So you got a couple months.
Okay.
Maybe by Christmas.
I got to go to the theater, which Christmas. Means I got to get a date.
Or, well, I wonder
what Billy's doing.
The Broken Road Comedy Tour. Well, you're not leaving until December. But that would be a thing that if you got that on, you could order that and watch it in the RV.
There you go.
Blade Runner 2049. All right. And another thing I saw, which was an interesting movie, because this is another. Now, Blade Runner was originally directed, the first one, by a guy named Ridley Scott, who's made a million famous movies. Another one of his famous movies was Alien, which came out in 1979.
Right.
And they made another Alien movie.
That's
would
what
be,
we need.
Well, this one's very good, though. It's called Alien Covenant. It's actually a direct sequel to a movie called Prometheus, which came out a few years ago. And it sort of follows up on... And again, you have AI in this. You have robots that are human-like.
Yeah.
Played by Michael Fassbender in this movie, Alien Covenant. This is something you can rent right now. Get it on demand.
Yeah, okay.
Really good, though. Very good job of keeping the alien thing alive. Because you've seen Alien. You see where, you know... The alien, you don't know that the guy's been infected.
Right.
And then all of a sudden something bursts out of his chest. It comes out. It attacks somebody. It puts a tentacle down its throat. It becomes a xenomorph. The human then becomes a xenomorph, which is the alien with the big giant head and the claws and the teeth and all that shit.
Sometimes they go too far with the graphic stuff and kind of turn me off.
Well, okay. I'll tell you, it is thrilling. It is scary at times. It's very well done. I thought it was a worthwhile fight. And this one, Ridley did actually direct this. So he directed Prometheus and this Alien. But like the first sequel to Alien, called Aliens, was directed by James Cameron, who went on to direct, he directed Terminator and Terminator 2 and Avatar and Titanic and all that stuff. And then Alien 3 was directed by David Fincher, who went on to direct, Benjamin Button and all kinds of famous movies and The Seven and all these things.
Right.
Alien has a really good pedigree, and I think this is a worthy film. I don't know how much money this thing made, if it was a giant hit either, but it was great.
Did it just come out?
It came out in the summer. It came out in May or June.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I actually reviewed a movie called Life a few weeks ago on this show, which was very much like Alien, but not an official Alien movie, but it was very similar to it. And apparently they had to move their movie up because the studio that made this Alien Covenant movie moved their movie up to compete with it, and they're kind of similar. They're actually very different. You can enjoy both. They're both very good.
From two different studios.
Two different studios.
Yeah.
One is the movie that's inspired by Alien. One is a direct sequel to Alien, and they're kind of competing in the same space. They're both great. They're both pretty different. I think it's better than Prometheus. I know some people didn't think Prometheus was great.
Right.
But I thought this movie was great. Maybe Michael Fassbender gets an acting nomination.
Right.
I think he's that good, playing the android slash human who a lot of the conflict is based around, without giving away spoilers.
Well, tell me something about the business end of it. Why would they release the movies at the same time or at different times?
Because, you know...
Is one trying to beat out the other?
What it is somebody goes, we've got this Alien movie at our studio.
Right.
Which is not... is similar to Alien, but not really Alien. And then when the studio that's making Alien gets wind of that, they go, well, let's move our movie. Then what they did in this case was they moved their movie up. I think they moved it out of August into May, when this other movie was going
to
open in May.
They wanted to be first out.
Yeah, so then this other movie that was coming out in May called Life said, we're going to release now in February, but to move the release date from May to February means you've got to get all those digital effects done quicker.
Right.
You have to turn this thing around. It seemed like in Life some of the effects weren't great in the way that they might be in a larger budget movie, because it was done for a little bit of a cheaper... You know, Alien is kind of the 500-pound gorilla there.
Right.
And they can order... And then smaller movies got to move around it. They could delay it. They could move it forward. They moved theirs forward. You know, they moved it out of summer, which is prime time for these kind of popcorn movies, and they moved it into February. So it's a whole competitive fucking thing.
Right.
They know that if there's two Alien movies out at the exact same time, they're going to cancel each other out. So somebody's got to blink.
Or
and
maybe
move.
My movie is so bad, nobody will want to see another Alien movie and won't go to theirs.
That could be, but
I'm undercutting them.
It turns out both are good.
Oh. That's good.
And it turns out both are good. Or somebody goes, I don't want to compete with that. Ours is better. We want to, so it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's really good. And then I saw some stuff on Netflix. I know you saw some stuff on Netflix. You want to go first or should I?
No, no, you should. I can't remember what stuff. I saw.
You can't even remember.
No,
look at you.
Well, I've watched it all and I've seen them all.
You've seen all of Netflix.
Well,
I finished like Netflix last night. I'm done with that.
I feel like I'm done.
I can unsubscribe until they put on more new shows. Yeah. And then we'll
I have a hard time finding shows on
all right.
Netflix.
I watched good on Netflix and I watched something good on cable, which you kind of need cable to watch this one because it's on. Let's start with the Netflix show. It's an animated series called Big Mouth. It's it was created by a guy named Nick Kroll. Do you know who Nick Kroll is?
No,
he's a pretty famous comic. He had a show on Comedy Central called Kroll Show.
No.
He's been on Parks and Rec. You know him if you saw him. Nick Kroll's kind of a funny looking guy with big eyes and a big forehead.
Yeah.
Really funny comedic actor.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
But this is an animated series.
I don't watch a lot of animated. You know? I really don't.
Right. Let me give you the whole cast of Big Mouth. So basically it's about middle school kids or high school kids. I'm not sure exactly how old the kids are. It's very much sort of like an American Dad, Family Guy, Simpsons.
Okay.
It's X-rated, but being on Netflix, It's X-rated.
See, I might watch this. all of a sudden, I'm interested.
John Mulaney is his friend. You might know John Mulaney, pretty famous comic.
Yep.
Jenny Slate is on the show. Jordan Peele, Maya Rudolph, lots of people. But
they're doing the voices of the
characters. There's the characters in Big Mouth.
These are little kids doing
they're little kids,
X-rated show.
And they're having, they're jerking off.
I don't want to watch this.
They're trying to get laid.
They're horny.
They have girlfriends. They're getting
hair. I have children. You know this.
Well,
right?
This is a show about kids that is dirty.
Which is for people that don't have kids.
And there's
if you have kids, this is not what you want to be thinking.
Yes. There's a character. That's what this photo was that I just pulled up.
Yes.
Is he called? I think he's called the Puberty Monster.
It looks like a monkey.
Yeah, and it's really funny because it's like when he gets horny, this monster shows up, and it makes him want to jerk off.
Oh.
And what do you do when you're best? Like this scene is my best friend spending the night. And now I'm horny.
Yeah.
How do I jerk off in the bed next to him?
Or I'm in the trailer with Billy.
And you're this is you. This is you guys. Watch Big Mouth. It's funny. Look, it's one of these shows where, like Simpsons and Family Guy, it's a million jokes a minute.
Yeah.
Not every joke worked to me.
Yeah.
So I would have preferred maybe less jokes and a little more story and not trying to shoehorn the jokes in because they didn't all make me laugh.
Right.
But I enjoyed the two or three episodes I've watched of this. I think there's 8 of them or 10 of them on Netflix. They're half hours.
Wow.
I think people who like edgy comedy, who might be fans of this show, would enjoy this. And the girls get their periods. Boys masturbate.
I have three daughters. Girls getting their periods is not that entertaining.
It's very funny on the
show. I've been through that three times. What if
you were a teenage girl and you were taking a day field trip to the Statue of Liberty and you got your period and you didn't have a tampon? What would you do? That's the plot of one of the episodes of Big Mouth. And it's funny.
That's so sad.
You can't take it literally. It's comedy.
I have three sisters
and
three
daughters. It doesn't make it not funny.
It's not funny.
Come on, Ted.
Not my kind of humor.
Anyway, so Big Mouth, I recommend it. It's not, my favorite show, but it's a very good show. I think it lives up to its billing. It's not a waste of time. I think Nick Kroll is talented.
Yeah.
John Mulaney, I'm not a huge fan of, but he does a good job on this show. There's a lot of famous people in this show. So.
Yeah.
And the other show, boy, this show could be my favorite show. This one's right up there, is a show on Comedy Central called Nathan For You. Do you know Nathan For You? It's a guy named Nathan Fielder, and it's a reality show, quote unquote. It is real.
Is it the guy that's the lawyer or?
He's a guy that helps struggling businesses. In a humorous way.
No.
So it's sort of like a Hell's Kid. Or what's the show where like Bar Rescue? Or what's the show where the guy goes in and yells at people at the restaurant?
Yeah.
The English guy?
Yeah, Kitchen
It's kind of like that. Click Kitchen Confidential or one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, but it's funny. So a guy says, I want to serve chili at the local hockey game. And they won't allow me to sell chili. They won't give me a vendor's license. How can I sell my chili there? So he hires Nathan to come in and consult, and Nathan comes up with a plan to sell chili at the hockey game.
Is the guy real?
The guy is real.
The guy that wants
the
to sell chili
is real. He has a chili restaurant.
And this guy is going to go in a funny way
and
help him.
Try to help him sell his chili.
All right.
And do you want me to tell you how he does
that
in a humorous way?
Yeah.
He decides, because, you know, they won't give him a vendor's license, that he will build a fat suit. He will fill the fat suit with chili, and he will dispense it
out of his suit.
Out of this suit at the hockey game. It's very funny.
Oh, God. And then tell me, how does he dispense
you
the
have
chili?
To see, you have to see.
I can imagine.
Hey, this is the fourth season of Nathan for you, and it's gotten wilder. Season four is even crazier. Here's another plot.
Hold it. How much money do you make on chili that you can afford?
They tell you on the show. And they show you how the suit is made. And they show you the expense that he goes through to do this.
To sell chili.
And it's very funny.
How much profit is in chili?
Okay, he also has an episode where a restaurant owner says, you know, my restaurant is not doing well. I need some good press for my restaurant. How do I get it? And Nathan comes up with the idea. Well, you hear stories on the news about a celebrity goes to the restaurant. And a celebrity leaves a big tip. And when a celebrity leaves a big tip, all the news cameras go to that restaurant, interview the owner, and you get lots of press.
Oh.
So he comes up with a thing. He says, well, look, I don't know how to make a celebrity come in. It's a little diner out of the way. How do we do this? He goes, I'm going to hire a celebrity impersonator, and they're going to come to the restaurant, and they're going to leave this giant tip, and we are going to, you know, release this to the press that the celebrity left a big tip, and we'll release a copy of the receipt.
Are they gonna claim that it was the celebrity, or just kind of allude to the fact?
Well, Nathan is afraid that if the press finds out that they faked this, that they're going to get busted.
Right.
So what they have to do is they have to get a credit card from a person that has the same name of the... First of all, they hire a bunch of impersonators. I don't even want to tell you who they hired.
Yeah, yeah.
But they hire a celebrity impersonator who's... It's so funny to watch the auditions because they're horrible impersonators.
All right.
They end up hiring a guy, and they have to get a guy that has the real name of this celebrity.
To use his credit
card. So he goes to the Yellow Pages, and he calls all the guys that share the same name with this actor.
And tell him what he wants to do, and he wants to rent their credit card.
And nobody wants to give him the credit card for obvious fucking reasons. Yeah. So here's what he does. He goes on Craigslist, says, who would like to change your name? Will you change your name for money? And he hires a guy.
Who's willing to change his name. Oh, my God.
And then they open an account at a bank. They deposit money into this guy's bank account. So he can use that credit. He can give that credit card to the celebrity impersonator to use to leave a real $10,000 tip.
$10,000.
It's so funny. You
$10,000.
I think this show's right up your alley. I think you will enjoy this.
I'm going to watch
this. This is ball busting tomfoolery. And there's a thing about Nathan that's so funny. He's a little nerdy guy.
Yeah, and it's
from
called,
Canada.
What's it called?
Nathan For You.
And it's on Netflix.
It's on Comedy Central.
You
may be able to watch the old episodes on Amazon. I know I watched some of the old ones on Amazon. It's on Comedy Central. If you have cable, it's probably on your on-demand. My Comcast on-demand has all four seasons up there.
Okay.
Because new ones are airing right now. They've aired three.
Nathan For You.
It's really, really, really.
It sounds hilarious.
I watched this with a girl who had never seen the show, never heard of it.
Yeah.
I said, would you try watching one of these with me? And she was dying laughing.
Really?
It was so much fun watching that. Oh, it was great. Nathan For You, this season, even if you watch it before and went like, oh, that one was just okay. Like, he got in the news for creating, a guy had a coffee shop. This is from season two, I want to say.
Okay.
And it was like, well, no one's at your coffee shop because everyone's at Starbucks. He goes, what if we created our own Starbucks? And we fooled people into thinking this was Starbucks. And he hired a lawyer. He goes, what can I open a Starbucks?
He's going to call it Starbucks or something,
well,
or something like that?
He called it Dumb Starbucks. And when you walked in and you ordered a coffee at Dumb Starbucks, it had a cup that said Dumb Starbucks. And you ordered a dumb venti and a dumb latte and
really?
A dumb this. And it opened and it did. There were lines
can you do
out.
This?
That,
can
well,
you do this?
It's all on the show. It's so funny. Oh, it's God. Great. But the thing is, while he's making these episodes, real people are doing these things.
They're going
to Starbucks. They're going to Dumb Starbucks. It's on the news. Nobody knows who created Dumb Starbucks. Or why it's there. It's really fun. Starbucks, of course, is pissed. They want to close this thing down.
Well, this is kind of the plot of Coming to America with Eddie Murphy. If you remember that.
Yeah.
Where they had it wasn't McDonald's.
Yes.
It was MacDougall's or something.
Yes, exactly, yes.
But everything looked like McDonald's when you walked
in. And that's
in.
What he did on one of the... He just does all these crazy schemes.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
Gonna help you.
And he's always hiring people on Craigslist. Like the guy who changes his name.
Now, can I hire him to go on tour with me?
Nathan Fielder?
Yes.
Maybe. He's kind of a big star now, isn't he?
Oh. But he could help me. He could be my tech guy.
If you said, Nathan, I'm on tour, and I bought an RV, and I'm losing money. I can't get booked on comedy. Help me with my comedy tour. He would come up with some scheme to help you on comedy tour. And he would say something like, God, he would come up with something
better
than...
Does he charge for the service?
Well, not if it's part of the television show.
Oh.
You know.
Maybe that's an idea.
But like, so he had a thing where like, nobody can smoke in the... Here's another older episode.
Okay.
He goes, nobody can smoke at my bar. And I would like people, and since we went into a smoking ban, no one can come to the bar anymore. How can I get people to smoke in my bar? And you might know this from comedy. You can smoke in a bar that is non-smoking, like the Comedy Castle is not smoking. But if you smoke as part of the performance, it is allowed. So Dave Attell can light up a cigarette on the Comedy Castle stage, which he has done because it's part of a theatrical performance.
Right.
So in order to get to make it allow smoking in this bar... He decided that he would stage a play in this bar, but not tell people it was. So he would make this bar a play. So here's what he did. He put video cameras in the bar, and he taped the entire bar on a regular night. And then what he did is he hired actors to play all those roles, and he would repeat what happened at the bar on a Friday night.
Right.
On the following Friday night, but instead of the real people, he hired actors to play those people. Then people could come to the bar. They could just hang out at the bar. It would feel like a regular bar, but in fact, it was not a bar. It was actually a theater performing.
And they were performing
what happened at the bar the night before. So, like, guys are hitting on chicks.
Oh man!
And guys are getting in fist fights. And it's brilliant. It is absolute genius television.
It worked for you.
It's great. You gotta watch this show.
You can find these illegally if you look.
I'm sure
it's great.
I'm not telling you to.
No.
Load up the laptop if you're going on the road with Billy. It's a fun show. You'll love it. I can't tell you enough. I love this show. Nathan for You. It's on Comedy Central. I don't even like Comedy Central usually.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch a lot of stand up on TV. We're going to talk about stand up because you watch
stuff.
But I don't really watch stand up on TV because I'm in the club every night.
Yeah.
I'm watching it live. And you know, when you see these specials, they're edited. Usually they're taken from a couple different performances all together.
Yeah.
If somebody didn't laugh big, they put in a laugh.
Right.
It's a little phony. Yeah. I like it real. I like it raw. I like it at the club. I can see who's good.
Do you
who's
like
it
at the club, or are you at the point?
I mean, look.
Where you've seen enough.
Well, when you see the same show five times a week, you get bored with it.
Yeah, but you're seeing the same amateurs doing the same things and making the same mistakes.
I see professionals doing shows that are great, but when you see them five times, by the end, you're like, I'm done seeing this fucking shit again.
Yeah.
Even though it's a great show and the audience is going crazy, you can hate it. But I do like seeing, if I'm going to watch comedy, I'm watching it live.
Yeah.
Because that's the business I'm in.
Well, there's too many
smoke and mirrors in these specials. So they're not for me.
Right. But your students, when they come in, are there like 10 standard types? And you go, he's this guy.
Whoever's hot, you see guys impersonating that guy. And, you know, for a while, there was Dane Cook, you know. There was a ton of Dane Cook guys coming out. There's guys who always do Mitch Hedberg. There's guys who do Seinfeld. There's guys who do, you know.
Yeah.
Some people just try to be them. There's the guys who try to do, you know, the Larry the Cable Guy. There's guys who do redneck stuff. There's guys trying to be Sam Kinison. There's guys trying to be Dice. You know, all the legends.
Yeah.
I remember a guy I thought
you're Chappelle and your friend here is Pryor.
Could be.
That's who you guys are.
But you've been watching comedy on Netflix. Tell us who you've seen.
Recently I've seen Brian Regan.
Regan.
I think he's great. I saw Jerry Seinfeld.
He's got a new one. How is that?
It's great. It shows his whole background, his life story.
Oh, really?
From the time he's a kid, all these little movies about how he grew up and where he grew up.
Okay.
And they're filming it in the club where he performed, which is kind of interesting.
So is he doing stand-up in the special?
He does. He does a lot of stand-up. He does a whole stand-up routine in the special, but they kind of intertwine the backstory.
Yeah.
And they interview different people in his life and what it was like and why he got into it and how he got into it. I think the Brian Regan. I keep saying that wrong. Regan. I think his movie was probably as interesting as anyone I've ever seen.
Is that relatively new for him, or is he old? Because he's got some legendary specials.
Well, actually, it's not a special. It's something that I saw on YouTube.
Oh.
And I thought it was really interesting to kind of hear his backstory. And he kind of had an interesting thing where he had a club that he talks about where he learned to do stand-up comedy.
He's from Arizona, I think, or something.
Florida.
Like Florida, okay.
Yeah.
Florida.
And the club kind of did it backwards, where they'd have the show come in, then after the good performers got done, they'd go, okay, you all can leave.
That's common,
we're just
going
to have some local people
come up. Yeah, that's common.
And he would go down there, and he would perform 5 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, he said, there's comedy clubs everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you could stand in front of the lights for 15 minutes, I'd let you do stand-up.
Sure.
That's just the way it was back in those days.
Yeah.
And so he could actually go into the club. Now, right now, I can't go anywhere. It's like, I want to perform here 5 nights a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, well, it's
like
different
take
times
a number.
Now, yeah.
Take a number if
there's
you
a million guys doing it.
Well,
there's way more guys doing it than when I started, and
well,
that was less than 20 years
ago. There's way more places.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
I mean, he said he could volunteer to do it 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
Can I do it 5 nights a week?
For free in Detroit. Maybe not in Fenton where you live. But
yeah, I don't know. Dude,
but you're going to find out in
2 weeks to get in
Broken
Comedy
Road.
Comedy Castle will take me 2 weeks to get up there.
We're
know?
Doing open mic every Wednesday in 2018.
You do not.
In 2018.
Oh, well, this
there
year
you go.
Did not.
We
did
not.
Did not,
and
it was
and
like an open mic every 4 weeks.
And that is a problem that we have corrected at the club. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, you had to have it on Tuesday night.
Which was not all my input. It was actually the input of the community going, we need more opportunities to perform here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's kind of interesting in that I found different communities in comedy. Like what is done at the comedy club is not what's being done at the bars. And the crowd,
yeah, they're different.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The crowds
different,
are different.
A lot different. And what?
Yeah.
What works at the actually one of your new students, Lou.
Lou
I met
DeGrand,
him doing the
yeah.
Yeah, great guy doing stuff at the bars.
Yeah.
And he went to take your class, and I said it's a little too dirty. He said
okay,
that.
Yeah.
He said that's my best stuff. I said no, it's a little too dirty.
Well, there's a different standard. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
But you know what? People laugh at different things,
and the audiences are different. They expect different things. I mean, for me, going on the road playing some of these one-nighters in small towns, you know, these one traffic light towns, they didn't get my jokes. I was too sophisticated.
I don't
And
know.
I think my jokes are pretty simple.
Yeah.
But boy, they'd look at it and they'd go, oh, he's self-deprecating and he's kind of ironic and dirty and sarcastic. And they were like, we want get her done.
Yeah.
You know, and they're looking at me like, well, what is that?
I got a lot of dick jokes. I'll do this fine.
But you I think, play better in a small town than I do.
A small town guy.
You're a small town guy.
I don't know.
That's your strength to you.
I don't know.
But for me, the road was like, hey, man, I'd play the big comedy clubs, and I'd open for guys, and I'd do theaters and arenas. I did the Palace of Auburn Hills. I did some outdoor things in Meadowbrook. Killed.
Yeah.
Crushed it. Comedy crowd, sophisticated audience, paying money.
Yeah.
Coming out to see comedy fans, people that watch comedy every night, they loved me.
Right.
These fucking local yokels, the townies that fucking didn't know what comedy was, and they you know, they saw one fucking, they have one trucker tape of Bill Engvall that they kept in the Ford
and
F-150.
This is what they wanted.
And they expected to hear that, and they heard me. They didn't get it, and they didn't laugh. And and then you'd have some hackasaurus coming up after me, headliner, talking about, you know, the cops pulling them over.
Yeah.
And you know how you guys are the worst drivers and all the stuff I talk about in class.
Sure.
Those guys crush with it.
Yeah.
And the reason they crush with it is because that's the stuff that's going to work in these small towns.
Yeah.
And they know it, and they end up with that act because that's what you need to work there. I would never do that.
So,
I would never compromise my act to work in small towns.
Well,
like
I think you have to have a small town act and a big town act, don't
you? Well, I was a big town guy, and I ran out of big towns to play.
Well, couldn't you have a small town act too?
Well,
I'm working on clean comedy.
But I've got
8 to 9 minutes of clean.
I had integrity. I still have integrity. And I wouldn't change the show for the audience.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
going to
do my show.
Yeah.
And my show works. And there were guys, and you hear different schools of thought on that. There would be bookers that are like, well, look, you got, I know that there's 3 people in this bar.
You got to be
And you're
commercial.
Playing in front of a NASCAR hood.
Yeah.
And I know it's a honky tonk, and everyone's doing a shot and a beer, and they're wearing cowboy boots and hats. You got to make those people laugh. And I went like, hey, this is the show that I do at Comedy Castle when I'm opening for Lewis Black, and it's sold out to 400 people.
Right.
And they fucking rip and roar
and
laugh their asses off. And I'm going to give them that show. And if they don't like them, fuck them.
Yeah.
and you know what? I did the Italian.
Yeah.
You know, fucking
gesture. Oh.
And, you know, if they didn't like it, then that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to a point where I went like, I'm going to these towns. Well, any, you know, I mean, I really quit for financial reasons. I quit the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was part of it.
Well, you know,
I didn't want to be the small town hero, you know.
I
could have went to New York or L.A., and I could have done that, but I bought a house in Ferndale, and I've lived that life.
Yeah, New York, Ferndale. Ferndale, New York. There's a decision.
I like Ferndale.
Well, you know what? I went down to Joey's in Livonia.
Sure.
And during the election, during the campaign,
right.
And I did a kind of like Saturday Night Live weekend update,
yeah.
little blurb on all the candidates. Just yeah. little kind of one-liners that were, I thought, hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew who the candidates were. And then I got called to do a feature spot
yeah.
down at, where was I? Down on the river, Monroe or
Wyandotte.
Went down to Wyandotte.
The comedy room in Wyandotte?
It was at the yacht club or something.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Anyhow, I got called down there, kind of a last minute thing. And I was hosting. And I think Steve Hansen was featuring, and they had a guy out of Chicago, really nice guy,
yeah.
who was the headliner. I went up, and so I did my typical stuff that yeah. I do that's a little blue, and got a mediocre response.
Yeah.
But it was a charity thing. It was a fundraiser yeah, for the Cub Scouts.
They're not into you. Yeah.
And the Cub Scouts moms were looking at each other going, I don't think we should laugh at this.
Because they're there to raise money for the charity. They're not there for the show.
Oh, yeah, well, I know, but I
know, but you learn that in comedy class.
No,
I teach that
week one. No, it was the material was bad. It was
the wrong material
for that group.
But that's the problem. That's why guys hate doing those. And that's why you got to learn
to
make money. But you also got to understand, you got to set your expectations low.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When guys come to Comedy Castle and there's a fundraiser and it's religious and there's nuns in the crowd and priests or it's just a bunch of old people or whatever watching it, and a guy doesn't do well with his regular act, guess what? We don't really care.
Yeah.
Because we know why the guy didn't do well.
Yeah.
I know the comedy's good. Even though that audience didn't eat it up like you'd expect them to, because they're not the normal Friday, Saturday night sophisticated comedy crowd.
Right,
that doesn't
right,
mean that comic right. sucks. Look, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
In fact, there's really three parts that make a good comedy show. You have a good comic, you got to have a good venue, and you got to have a good crowd.
Yeah.
And when you're missing one of those things, it's hard to make
it
good.
But the crowd has to match the comedian.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I've been doing
so you can book the wrong guys, and it was probably a bad booking to have you.
Well,
but that's not your fault.
Yeah.
That's the booker's fault.
I could have done well. They needed somebody last minute.
Yeah, but
I said, I'll do it.
Don't tailor your act to the audience too much, because you're going to become a hack.
Well,
because the lowest common denominator is jokes about you know jokes about your mother-in-law and dogs are different from cats. And you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Because anyone in the business can sniff that out in 2 seconds, and they're going to hear those same jokes. When I was a kid, we didn't have time out. We had knockout. And it's going to get a big laugh in front of nobody,
yeah.
in front of the fucking hillbillies. And then you're going to come to Comedy Castle and do that, and you're going to eat shit because everyone's heard that joke before, and they know you didn't write it.
Right.
There's my advice.
Right.
Well, thank you. Please leave $10 on the bed. I'm giving you the senior rate.
All right.
All right.
Another class for Ted.
Ted Moss.
Appreciate that.
Yes. I want to thank you for joining me this week on Joel Radio.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
It's always good talking.
It's interesting.
We talk. We were good talkers together. Look
yes.
at us.
Just talking our lives
You know
away.
What we should do? We should get an RV and go on. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not going to do that.
Already doing
that. Because it's already being done. It's called the Broken Road Comedy Tour with Billy Reno.
YouTube or Facebook.
YouTube.
Go
Follow
get
us.
It. 2-minute show. How bad could it possibly be?
I'll be the judge of that, and you'll hear that on future Joel Radios. But, yeah, I want to thank Ted for coming out. I want to remind you of some of the stuff that I got going on that I talked about today. If you're interested in seeing a real unique comedy show, come down to the Hannon Center, I think is how it's pronounced, down on Woodward, Tuesday, the 24th of October at 6 p.m. I got a real fun show. My senior ladies are going to make you laugh. Mike Bonner's there to make you laugh. Keith Ruff's there to make you laugh. I'm hosting. $5 suggested donation. You're going to see a comedy show that, to be honest, in 20 years of doing it, I've really never heard of anything like this. And
nobody has, Joel.
Well, but you know what? If you go, you're going to be impressed. You're going to love it.
That sounds great.
Come on down to the Hannon Center. Look for that. And, of course, Advanced Comedy Class and Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle starts November 4th. Call the Comedy Castle, 248-542-9900 to sign up. If you got questions, joelthecomic@gmail.com. Get a hold of me there. 9:10 a.m. every Tuesday with Mike Bonner. Superstation, 9:10 a.m. superstation.com. 11 to 1, I'm on every Tuesday. Thanks again, Ted Moss.
Thank you.
We love you. We'll hear more from Ted.
On the road.
On the road with Billy Reno. Getting blown at the truck stop. Hear those updates.
For free.
For free. Watch it on YouTube.
Jokes for jokes.
But at what point do you film the blowjobs and put them on Pornhub?
You know
Is
what?
That a point?
It could be. If you're making money, don't want to sell out.
At what point are you blowing Billy yourself and putting on the gay porn website?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know anything. I don't know.
Look for that soon. Thank you again, Ted. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio.